Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Thank you all for joining me today. A little bit of a different format setup. That was the reason for the delay there when we were starting. I'm not actually quite sure at the moment. It's my hope that this is currently streaming to Restream or to Rockfin, to Three Speak, and to Float, and a couple of others. If not, I have to make sure I do it next time, make sure I did it correctly. But we're testing out some new setups here. That's why the view may look a little different today. Feel free and chime in with your feelings on this. If you like the old way better, vice versa, just reach out to me and let me know how you feel about it. That's important to me, how you guys feel and see this going forward. But we're using a couple of different setups, including the platform we're doing it on, as well as some equipment on the side. So it is my hope that we are seeing this broadcast live at the moment on these backup channels. But thank you for joining us today. And thank you for, I'm not seeing it on Rockfin necessarily. Oh, well, we'll figure it all out later. But thank you for being here today. We have a lot to get into. I'm going to start off with a little bit about the debate and just the dark winter part that I just had 1,000 messages about, which I think is also very, very interesting. And some of the things that were said in there that I think show some pretty important points for both sides of the illusion that is the two-party paradigm. And we're going to get into more about biosensors today specifically, and a lot of other things as well that flesh out this whole narrative. As always, there's little points around the other things we've made on different shows that I think are relevant to today. But we're going to finish off with some things that I think you'll find especially important. So make sure you stay through till the end. Now, bear with me in case, as I said before, if there's any issues with how we're setting this up, if it might take some getting used to from my end especially. But, that's why I did it like that to begin. That's right. Something I'm going to have to do next time. Okay, here we are. Starting off here, if I'm seeing this correctly. This is what I want you guys to be signing up for, wire.com, as well as our Discord channel. That is, making sure real quick, okay, it is showing. Now you just have to have that window separate next time. Wire.com is where I want you guys to sign up. Free, encrypted platform, and then search out the Last American Vagabond group that's on wire.com and sign up, and I will let you into the group. And the point is that every single time before I go live, I put out a ping on the wire.com, which on the wire platform on wire.com, that will ping your phone. So think of it like the YouTube notification that never ever works, but this will work every single time. So for those of you that are wondering how to keep a hold of what I'm doing and where I'm live and how and when YouTube is, you know, their authoritarian censor machine that they are, sign up for wire.com, sign up for Discord. There's a new active link in our Discord in the show notes below, which is now active. There's reasons it wasn't before. And every single time I go live, I make sure I put a note in there for you guys to see so you know it's coming. On that note, let's start off with a couple of points that I wanted to make, something that I found really interesting. It's weird. And this really is kind of what this abstract point, one of the only today that doesn't really line up with everything. I mean, it does, but not as obvious as some of these might. This is racial segregation in 2020. The King County, Washington, it's technically saying the, which is, oh, dang it, only jurisdiction in the world. So just speaking specifically of the town, the library system was holding separate but equal training sessions for its employees, all in the name of social justice. Now, they say that it's time for the Justice Department to put a stop to this madness, but there's already plenty of things that we have already done that are already for exactly that. The problem is that the government is the problem, right? Whether you think Trump's Justice Department versus them, and you play into the two-party paradigm and they're fighting back and forth. The point is, guys, that there's already plenty of things that could be done right now if you think that this is incorrect. And it is. I mean, look, bottom line, individuals should have the right to segregate themselves and however they see fit. That's their choice. But when you have government entities who are literally telling you that what was once deemed racist and just unacceptable, so it had to change, is now being done for the same reason, social justice, to stop racism. So we're going to do the thing that we all said. I mean, that's unbelievably ignorant. Just because you say separate but equal, it's the same exact thing that was happening before. It literally says, if you cannot see it for those in the podcast, it says people who are white in a big sign. And then over on the other side, it says people of color. And you have to go there if you are of color, if you have to go here if you're white. And that's literally segregation. And it's just unbelievable that we're in a point now where that is, like, I'm the bad guy for pointing out that that seems ridiculous, even though that's exactly what was a problem before that led to where we are now. It's just this circle of politics, as always, even going back that far. The point is, we're in a really bad way. So far, in such a bad way at this point where we don't even understand. The forest for the trees is a good analogy here, but we have no sense of ourselves anymore. This doesn't even make sense. This is how far we are in so many directions, but it's all, I think, leading to a very dangerous point in this country. Now, this is something that in regard to censorship that I wanted to point out. As I say here, we'll start with the Off-Guardian tweet. Facebook is now telling people who search for Off-Guardian that they may be associated with QAnon. It says, we are not in any way associated with QAnon, never have been. Is anyone else seeing this warning? And some people have. This may be associated with dangerous content, may be associated with dangerous conspiracy movement called the QAnon. Maybe. Do you realize how incredible it is for them? I mean, there's something there. I would argue there's a legal liability here for them to, this is libelous. I mean, this is slander. If you can't prove such a thing, for them to come out and put a forced notification on somebody's platform or links to their platform, just because you are saying, well, they may be associated with a group that we've decided on our own is somehow dangerous, despite the fact that they're not really breaking any laws. They're just saying things that we argue lead to that and have never effectively proven that, right? Violence is violence. There's already laws on the books for violence, for attacks, for racism, for acting on things like, you know, to the point I made a while back. Recently there was some discussion about lynching and a law about lynching, which is just dumb. If you hang somebody by a rope, that's illegal. If you kill them by doing so, that's even more illegal. You don't need to make an extra law that specifically names that one thing. That's just ridiculous. That's virtue signaling, right? Do we have the laws for that? I'm not suggesting that's a good thing. I think that's pretty apparent. The laws are there. The laws are there because that is a bad thing. This is the same kind of idea. They're playing with this. And the point is, I literally just discussed in today's show, when this was yesterday with Whitney, how the association of QAnon with conspiracy theorists in general, those are in quotes because that's what they're calling it, which is just a lazy argument, by the way. QAnon, just association with these that we can, they may be associated, so they just might be dangerous. That's just lazy. And that will be, I've said, it will be used to disparage and censor anyone talking about things they don't like, whether or not they've even been aware of QAnon, ever, even, in either way. And that's what's happening right now. That's what's happening with me. That's what's happening with Off-Guardian. They're just basically you, and I argue, and this may not be fun for people to hear on the QAnon side, that's what it was always all about. Ask yourself why Trump isn't standing up and defending all these Q people that were censored. Oh, he's going after Google, they say. Let's see how that pans out, right? The point is that, I mean, I just saw SGT Report just even lost his Patreon page. Right. I mean, this is coming across the board. And no, I don't think that's okay. I aggressively disagree with most of the things that they get into, but I would fight to the death to defend the right to say those things, as the saying goes. And I mean that. This is the reality, and this is the hill on which we need to die today. You know, metaphorically speaking, we have to fight for the rights of people to speak their mind. And as they do this thing, this blending of everything, they just get to lob this at whoever they want, whenever they want, and use it to try to attack somebody and then eventually take them down. It's pretty incredible. But because of COVID-19, I guess, nothing really seems legitimate anymore. There's no accountability. There's no follow-ups. There's no system of appeals or any of these things. It's just, nope. They're just doing what they want these days. And then to point out this, I had to, because it's just, this is the problem we're in today. This person literally responds by saying, maybe you are somehow and you don't know it. The Q psyop is a vast web. Well, lady, you have played lock. What else the saying? I can't believe I'm forgetting that. Something line, hook, line, and sinker, right? I mean, talk about buying. Maybe you are somehow and you don't even know it. What does that even mean? Look, the point being is that if I am somehow being radicalized by something that I'm not even aware of, isn't it also possible that you're wrong? Yeah, it is. But sure, let's go ahead and err on the side of removing their entire organization, such as The Last American Vagabond, from YouTube, because it may be. cool. I'm glad to see that we're in the world of where censorship is no, not allowed, and we have free speech. And, you know, it's like this illusions that we paint for ourselves. And I also wanted to add this in before we jump to the next topic, that a lot of people were asking, including myself when I first saw this, going, what the hell is going on with these stupid retweets on Twitter? Well, Twitter is fighting election chaos, apparently, by urging users to quote tweet instead of retweet. Oh, I see. So adding about a half a millisecond extra time is going to slow them down from retweeting. That's what they're actually arguing. The fact that it's just too easy to hit retweet, retweet, and send things out without thinking about it. So now you have to, it gives you an extra step. And that's going to change the world. Good job, Twitter. No, the point is that I argue there's much more control in the way that they're doing this. I mean, I don't want to get too deep on this, but it's all, I'm sure you all see it the same way, that this is kind of, there's usually something behind that. Oh, thank you. I was looking at the chat all of a sudden. Lock, Stock, and Barrel was the other thing. I think I was blending those two. Thank you. Thank you for everybody in the chat, by the way. Thank you for, let's see. I just don't even fathom how YouTube is still allowing these things to get through onto YouTube. Oh, look at that. We have the, I actually like that view. That's interesting. Well, I'm going to go ahead and leave that. Oh, see, now I got the double screen going on. I didn't know I had my side window up like that. That's actually kind of cool. You guys tell me what you think. I can do it just full screen as well. Either way, I think I kind of like it full screen because it says the right there on the rest of it. Let's just try that one out. So you guys tell me what you think. I kind of like this one better. But anyway, what I was saying was thank you to all the people, as I guess you guys can now see. 123, nothing on here that's important, so don't worry, I'm not giving anything away. But that's 279 people on YouTube right now, which is just hilarious to me. And remember, the only reason that's even happening right now is because of Restream, because Restream has connected to it from before, and I'm not deleting it. And so every time that's why there's no image. That's why they can, you know, it's kind of just wonky over there on the YouTube page, because I'm completely locked out. I can't even comment on YouTube right now, except I actually, you know what? I take that back. I found a way to do it, as I just did it today. Tell me, you guys should, I'm wasting too much time now. I'm so fascinated by this. I believe that just went through to YouTube. Not that I really necessarily care, because I'm actually not even sharing the YouTube link anymore, but Restream has this connection and I'm typing on the Restream chat. Look at that. I don't even understand why they're allowing this. I don't know, but you know what? As long as they let the content go through, 291 more people are awake over there on YouTube, probably already were, but the point is that I'm not even going to share it anymore. I think I shared the DLive link today, hashtag boycott YouTube, because this is the kind of stuff that these social media platforms are doing to you. They feel they have this righteous indignation for anybody who thinks they're trying to recreate your lives just like the Great Reset is, but on a social media level. They're dictating how you should be operating. You can't think these things. You can't question this. You can't say that. It's all off limits today, according to Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and, you know, really your government is what it boils down to. But the final point here is just more censorship. Exactly the same thing. As Vanessa Bealey pointed out, and I hope you will check out the interview I did with her, as well as Robert's article about what went on in regard to the BBC, or is still happening. My Professor Michael Chustovsky, which is from globalresearch.ca, now in line of neo-McCarthy fire. Defend independent journalism. They stand between you and state gaslighting projects. You know, in generally speaking, obviously there's plenty of independent media that are probably just as bad or are just as bad, but nonetheless, you should be defending and standing by independent journalism today. Write to editors, complain, raise your voice, and the fascist book burning project, because that's what's happening. Canadian professor's website helps Russia spread disinformation, they say, says U.S. State Department. Ooh, that's cool. I wonder if it's because Global Research has been just hacking at the roots of this entire broken system for a long time now. Oh, they're Russian bad guys now, because that's an easy thing to lob in the middle of this frenzy of foreign meddling election stuff in the next election ploy. It's they're lobbing, they're knocking people off left and right. They're just using the situation to attack the people who actually have a voice and are trying to spread the reality. Can't have that, can you? And speaking of just an ongoing clown show of deception and misinformation, let's get into the debate that we were going to talk about today. Because this, I'm only going to talk about one part of this. This is just next level ridiculous. The whole thing, I mean, just embarrassing. I mean, I can even just say off the bat, like, and both of them, by the way. I mean, that's what we should all be able to realize, that both of these people are quite ridiculous. the back and forth. I mean, the idea that either of them, first of all, from Trump's side, are not politicians is a absurd joke, as Trump pulls the same move that he calls out in Biden during this whole thing. Biden, in the same way, can't seem to just string sentences together when he needs to, makes all kinds of ridiculous mistakes, literally says opposite points when he's in an argument with Trump, which I don't know why Trump doesn't call that out when he literally says exactly the opposite of what he's supposed to be saying in an argument. But I mean, I'm not going to go over all this stuff today. Both of them, in my opinion, did equally bad because both of them are lying, deceiving politicians. And I'm not even saying that because I think that Trump's the politician. They're in political positions. Hence, they're politicians. Let's not be dumb about this. They're in here right now trying to deceive you into believing that they're the secret to just get four more years to keep the same thing rolling, right? Saving us for the same old thing for 4 years. Hooray! But let's watch this first part, because I'm sure you all know what was the interesting part of... Oh, here, let me just do this right now. Hold on 1 second. So this, there we go. So I just pulled that screen off so I can actually see what I'm showing you guys without doubling up the screen. But let's get into this clip. I had it, let's see. Oh, right. That's how we were going to do it. Still just getting used to the way this is set up, guys. So as I said before, just bear with me. Let's see. Okay. Here we are. So this is actually just the clip. I don't think I actually clipped anything out from inside this clip, but it's obviously just a clip of the full debate. So let's take a look at this. Make sure the volume... Now, I don't remember if on this platform you can hear the volume through this or it has to go through my microphone, but I guess we'll find out.
The country is heading into a dangerous new phase. More than 40,000 Americans are in the hospital tonight with COVID, including record numbers here in Tennessee. And since the two of you last shared a stage, 16,000 Americans have died from COVID. So please be specific. How would you lead the country during this next stage of the coronavirus?
Don't you love how the first thing they start out with, and let me know how the sound is, by the way. I could probably turn that up a bit low. Okay, I'll turn up a little bit. That, first of all, I can't stand how these people continue to assert their political opinions as a moderator. It's like the first thing she says is like, you sit down as a moderator and the very first thing you do is break the rules of being a moderator. Like, you're not supposed to insert your opinions. You're supposed to present genuine questions that both of them can, you know, this it's obvious stuff, but since we're in a dire position here you are inserting the idea into people's minds. And even the reality being that that's not even the case. I mean, we'll go over more in the show as we get past this part. It's just obviously not the case. Deaths have continued to decline, even though they keep saying they've maybe stagnated. The point is, this is not where we are right now. But she starts out by going, because we're all in so much danger. Okay, answer questions. I mean, did you guys notice that?
Two of you last shared a stage. 16,000 Americans have died from COVID. The country is heading into a dangerous new phase. More than 40,000 Americans are in the hospital tonight with COVID.
Which, by the way, continues to decline, but I guess you just left that out.
Including record numbers here in Tennessee. And since the two of you last shared a stage, 16,000 Americans have died from COVID.
Except they're also including pneumonia and influenza-like illness in that, which it's clearly stated right on the CDC website, but let's not include that. Or the fact that these deaths are obviously being ruled death in cases where we just showed you they're only in certain circumstances with certain symptoms and they assume that that's the case. Or they got a positive PCR test, which is a 90% false positive, potential false positive rate, and then they deem them COVID and they die in a car accident and they label that a death. I just showed you this stuff. But let's just ignore all the point that she shouldn't be asserting this point anyway. Right? That's why they do this, right? She's sticking in her opinion without giving you any context, which is essentially lying, in my opinion.
Please be specific. How would you lead the country during this next stage of the coronavirus crisis? 2 minutes uninterrupted.
So, as you know, 2.2 million people modeled out, we're expected to die.
Okay, so this is the way you start. So you take the model that we all know was catastrophically wrong, right? And you would think that may be the point he's going to make, but no, he's using that as if that means that he did this good of a job. Well, they said 2 million would die and we only have 200,000. And even those, I argue, are questionable. But why doesn't he say that? That is exactly what his supporters believe. That's what he hints at him believing. He always gives nods to the things that we are finding out now, but doesn't actually point to them and doesn't actually do anything to stop the unconstitutional actions from continuing. But in this case, he says, because they said that this was all going to be dead and only this many died, that's a good thing. Those models were shown to be wrong a while ago. And I mean, catastrophically wrong. And they all stem back to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I wonder why.
We closed up the greatest,
which, by the way, Donald Trump is still working with and still funding, both from the USAID and from his direct administration and Gavi, and as well through that, the World Health Organization. Completely verifiable.
Economy in the world in order to fight this horrible disease that came from China. It's a
right, except the fact that we have examples of frozen waste samples showing COVID-19 all the way back in 2013 from Canada, which they already showed. We have Taiwan, Spain, France, Italy, Germany, Japan, all of them saying they have examples of this before December 2019. But yeah, let's just keep screaming China, 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 because that's easy for politics, though.
Wide pandemic. It's all over the world. You see the spikes in Europe and many other places right now. If you know,
but again, isn't this, according to his supporters, isn't this not supposed to be something that's dangerous? I mean, doesn't that contradict what he's telling you and what you wink, wink, think that he's trying to say? Right. Sure. I guess when he says these things, it's because he's playing politics and trying to trick the Democrats. Right. It's easy to insert those things when you don't want to believe something he's saying.
The mortality rate is down 85%. The excess mortality rate is way down and much lower than.
And now we're getting into some truths. The fact that we are far down. But if that's the case, why aren't we stopping all of the unconstitutional actions?
Any other country. And we're fighting it, and we're fighting it hard. There is a spike. There was a spike in Florida, and it's now gone. There was a very big spike in Texas. It's now gone. There was a very big spike in Arizona. It's now gone. And there are some spikes and surges in other places. They will soon be gone. We have a vaccine that's coming. It's ready. It's going to be announced within.
I guess he just forgot to say therapeutics there again, right? Oops. Because wink, wink, he's only means of therapeutics. Nope. He's talking about the vaccine, guys. The vaccine that Trump's administration is championing. The same vaccine, by the way, that we were screaming about Fauci and Gates being involved in killing the whole planet. And now suddenly we're on, okay with, because Trump's saying it's his. They didn't change. It wasn't suddenly a new vaccine like Alex Jones tried to lie about. It's the same damn thing that he's just pushing forward with Operation Warp Speed, right? All of these, all of the ones we talked about, every single one of them. Derek Rose did an excellent article showing you all the ties to all of these back to the same people, primarily the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I mean, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr. called the World Health Organization a sock puppet of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or Bill Gates himself. And so if Donald Trump is funding Gavi and funding the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is funding who, how the, in the world does that make sense? It doesn't. They just pretend that's not there. And trust me, I'll get to attacking Biden's lies too.
And it's going to be delivered. We have Operation Warp Speed, which is the military.
Hashtag expose Warp Speed to find out that it's a military intelligence project that's clearly focused on biosensors and bioelectric medicine, which is openly the case at this point. Openly. We're going to get into that all today. Of course, we're talking about vaccination cards and tied up with the ID 2020, which is going to be societally and financially exclusion kind of idea where you won't be able to get in and do things without having it, right? This is all the stuff that's coming. This is all verifiable information that Trump is behind and Trump is backing. Yeah, he may not force it down your throat. He may not even make it mandatory, but all of those things are still happening. And I argue that none of the Trump supporters would believe it for a second that he's actually going to allow that to happen. And if it does happen, it'll be somebody else's fault. But the point doesn't matter. It's if it does happen, if we know that it might happen, we should all stop it. People that believe in Trump, people that believe in Biden, we should realize that this is a very dangerous thing that's happening that is really not about making you safe or healthy. It's a, they're if they are monitoring the vaccine longer in your body than they are before they're giving it to you, that's usually an indication that it's not been tested.
Is going to distribute the vaccine.
Which I guess I should clarify, that's 24 months of pharmacovigilance that's clearly documented up to 24 months in Operation Warp Speed. Pharmacovigilance means monitoring it inside your body in case anything bad happens. 24 months, 2 years that you have to be monitored after you get this thing.
You from personal experience that I was in the hospital, I had it, and I got better. And I will tell you that I had something that they gave me. A therapeutic, I guess they would call it. Some people could say it was a cure.
Okay, so if he has a therapeutic and is better and it's not as bad as we were told, as Trump continues to say, and he's right, why is he then continuing to drive out the vaccine? Because there's an agenda there. right? I mean, this, I see this comment all the time. People go, well, if masks work, why do we need distance? If distance work, why do we need to wear a mask? If all of it works, why do we need to lock down? Right? All these things together, which I get there's more to it than that. But the point is then with all of this, and we have things that are actually treating it, even from the mouth of the president, why are we still using a military operation to push out an experimental vaccine that's barely been tested, that's never been successfully done, that is just an all-around dangerous concept? Does that make sense to anybody? I'm sure that people out there that want to believe that he's doing right by you are trying. Something must make sense. There must be some point in all this that means probably tricking them or 4D chess. Don't do that. Be smart enough to realize that he may be fooled. Maybe he doesn't understand what's happening. We can't allow this very dangerous thing to happen.
I was in for a short period of time and I got better very fast or I wouldn't be here tonight. And now they say I'm immune. Whether it's 4 months or a lifetime, nobody's been able to say that. But
okay, I have to say this. That's actually fantastic. So somebody just wrote this in the chat. Want to hear a COVID-19 joke? I'd tell you, but there's a 99.4% chance you won't get it.
More and more people are getting better. We have a problem that's a worldwide problem. This is a worldwide problem. But I've been congratulated by the heads of many countries on what we've been able to do. If you take a look at what we've done in terms of goggles and masks and gowns and everything else, and in particular ventilators, we're now making ventilators all over the world, thousands and thousands a month, distributing them all over the world. It will go away, and as I say, we're rounding the turn, we're rounding the corner.
Did he just say ventilators? He did, ladies and gentlemen, and this is again what I continue to point out to you guys. How is it that ventilators are how is it that continues to be something that they continue to make ventilators and we're saving lives? That is obviously something that is not a safe concept in regard to what we're dealing with. And let me make some points to make that clear. It's really incredible to me that this continues. Of course, see, I'm all over the place with all this new stuff. I have so many things up. Let's see. So the point is that once I find them, I've got a bunch of examples of how this is what we're talking about. And this is the reality, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, we all know this. Most New York COVID patients on ventilators died, right? We know this stuff. We've talked about this already. The great ventilator fiasco of COVID-19. Here's the Washington Post. Of the 320 for whom final outcomes are known, this is in regard to the specific height spot, I think this was New York specifically, 88% of them died. 88%. Right? Okay. So then why are we arguing that making ventilators at the level that he's making them to the point to where he's talking about how good it is a good thing?
And everything else... And in particular, ventilators. We're now making ventilators all over the world, thousands and thousands a month, distributing them all over the world.
Now, is that because he doesn't understand that the numbers are clearly showing, like Dr. Riedel said back in the middle of this, that these are mostly hurting people? Or is it that because every action they've taken since this started has clearly gone in the direction of causing more harm? Now, I'm not arguing that I know for a fact that that was an intentional choice, but it's clear that all of these things have led in the direction of negative consequences, which means that the solution was worse than the problem. And he, by the way, says that again in this discussion. I kept saying that you kept saying that, Trump, because we kept saying that and you picked up on it just like you did. I argue this debate was just like the ones in 2016. Trump is realizing what the anti-establishment crowd wants and he's leaning into it just like he did before. That's what politicians do. But realize how crazy it is that we're talking about more ventilators, while we know, according to other experts around the world, that it's in fact dangerous.
It will go away. And as I say, we're rounding the turn. We're rounding the corner. It's going away.
Okay. Former Vice President Biden, to you, how would you lead the country out of this crisis? You have 2 minutes uninterrupted.
220,000.
I want to add too, I think it's kind of silly the way they've cut up, like Trump's mic got cut off more than once in this. And I didn't see Biden's not a single time, which, you know, I mean, we all see bias here, but I always wonder whether or not that is part of the ploy, but it's clear. You could see it. I think it's kind of childish that these moderators of the mainstream media, who are just career liars, are out here deciding and dictating these, like, they're treating them like their children. But truthfully, both Trump and Biden tend to act like children when they get all worked up. But it's just kind of funny the way that they're doing this. Why not just let them have a conversation, right? But we know how that would end up because we saw it last time, but I still argue that that's more real than dictating. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
America's dead. You hear nothing else I say tonight. Hear this. We're rounding.
It's uninterrupted.
220,000 Americans dead.
Again, just, you know, that's, we keep stating this, but we all know that there's huge caveats there. Admitted by the sources that they're referencing, admitted by groups like the CDC and the World Health. I mean, these are things that we know. There are clear issues that they're erring on the side of caution. That's what they keep telling us, right? We're making sure it's better to be safe than sorry, but sure, that's what I keep saying. That's fine. As long as you don't use those numbers to fearmonger, restrict our rights and attack people, which they are. If we know that there are people that could be tested and not ever get sick, but die in a car accident a month later and still be counted as a COVID death, you simply can't stand there and say we've got 2,000 deaths. You just can't.
You hear nothing else I say tonight. Hear this. Anyone who's responsible for not taking control, in fact, not saying I take no responsibility initially.
Not saying I take no responsibility, right? That's a double net. He's literally saying that Trump said he took responsibility. Obviously, that's not what he means. You could argue it's a little slip up, but that Biden is a slip up.
Anyone who's responsible for that many deaths should not remain as president of the United States of America. We're in a situation where there are 1,000 deaths a day now, 1,000 deaths a day, and there are over 70,000 new cases per day. Compared to what's going on in Europe, as the New England Medical Journal said, they're starting from a very low...
New England Journal of Medicine.
Rate. We're starting from a very high rate. The expectation is we'll have another 200,000 Americans dead.
Okay, so now we're estimating again. Now we got models again. How well did that work out for us? It's incredible that they, I mean, even the idea that people are still trusting like election polls this year, how dumb do we have to be to continue to take their BS? If we can have where they say 99% chance they're going to win, either they lied to you last time because they wanted to fool you into thinking that you shouldn't vote for the person they didn't want you to vote for, or they were just wrong. I mean, it's all of these times, including now we see in the beginning of COVID-19, they wildly got this wrong. And now we're going to take the same people's word on their models again, right? Think about how dumb it is. Like I keep saying that based on more information, they're willing to continue to restrict your lives, but not give it back to you, even though they took it away from you based on the least amount of information we had. That's because the whole point was taking it away from you. They never planned to give it back to you.
Be time between now and the end of the year. If we just wore these masks, President's own advisors have told him, we could save 100,000 lives.
I hope you guys realize, and I'm not going to dive into this again because of how thoroughly I have completely dismantled this ridiculous argument. The idea that there are entire medical organizations around the world, Sweden as a country, for instance, that are literally telling us that this is a joke, that we all knew. I just played another video from I think it was a heart surgeon. I might be forgetting, but nonetheless, 40 years as a medical professional and expert standing up and telling us, look, we all know there was never a single discussion about the idea of reducing affecting transmission. That's not what these were ever for. This is about the illusion of the continuation of a problem, as well as to show people that you're complying, right? To show people that you are, it's a psychological operation. I've shown you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the information before this, every single random controlled trial has come to the conclusion that masks do not have a statistically significant reduction in transmission. That is exactly what they say. Now, YouTube has already censored me for literally quoting what the NIH said, literally quoting what OSHA has to say, literally quoting the sources they tell me I have to listen to. That's how dumb it's gotten, because it's not about actual information. It's about controlling the flow of that information. And what he wants you to believe right now is that all we do is wear this thing that's been shown to not have any effect on this. And in fact, the cloth masks dramatically increase the risk of infection. And then, of course, we talk about the fact that even the cloth mask, upwards of 90% of even your droplets get through, even though droplets aren't how this thing spreads. Spreads by aerosolized particulates, which all the experts will tell you, which these masks will not stop because it's like mosquitoes in a chain link fence. I mean, this is a basic, basic, basic understanding. Talk about common sense. Like they used that, try to use that argument in the beginning. That's where we are. But here's Biden telling you that we just, everyone has to wear them all the time. Of course, he does, and he does reiterate later, but he says that, you know, recommend, but it's clear, as he's made it before, that his plan is to make sure that people wear these things all the time. Because that's what will make us safe.
And we're in a circumstance where the president thus far...
Now, I should be clear. I can't know for sure that he means inside or all this. Or the idea is that we know that's where they're all going. They want these things to be basically synonymous, like all the time. Just like we're seeing in other places because they don't understand what these things actually are.
Has no plan. No comprehensive plan. What I would do is make sure we have everyone encouraged to wear a mask all the time.
Encouraged.
I would make sure we move in the direction of rapid testing, investing in rapid testing. I would make sure that we set up national standards as to how to open up schools and open up businesses so they can be safe and give them the wherewithal, the financial resources to be able to do that. We're in a situation now where the New England Medical Journal, one of the serious, most serious journals in the whole world, said for the first time ever that the way this president has responded to this crisis has been absolutely tragic.
Isn't it funny how, okay, so they say that, and oh, well, that just is right, because look at where it came from. But then if they come out tomorrow and say that masks don't work, they'd say, oh, well, that's not true. Or for instance, the World Health Organization official comes out and says, oh, the lockdowns aren't working. That's not how those are supposed to be used. You guys shouldn't be using them that way. And they attack the World Health Organization expert. Oh, but wait a minute. Didn't you tell us that we're not allowed to challenge the World Health Organization guidelines? Isn't that a guy involved with making those guidelines? Yes, he is. But they attacked him anyway, because they're a bunch of disgusting hypocrites.
Folks, I will take care of this. I will end this. I will make sure we have a plan.
President Trump, I'd like to follow up with you and your comments. You talked about taking a therapeutic. I assume you're referencing Regeneron. You also said a vaccine.
I'm seeing somebody say it helps stop bacterial pneumonia. If you're referring to the cloth mask, that's literally the diametric opposite. We just talked to an entire group of doctors that are saying that these things are increasing roundly bacterial pneumonias because they're wearing the cloth masks. Just in case that's what they meant. That's important to understand.
Will be coming within weeks? Yes. Is that a guarantee?
No, it's not a guarantee, but it will be by the end.
Don't you love that? So it's coming in weeks, but not for sure. But, you know, it's like that's something you might want to say. And, of course, when you say weeks, that could mean, you know, 400 weeks, 1,000 weeks. You know, always a way that politicians play. And that, of course, is a politician type answer.
Yeah, but I think it has a good chance. There are two companies, I think, within a matter of weeks. And it will be distributed very quickly.
Can you tell us which companies?
Johnson & Johnson is doing very well.
The one that was responsible for the asbestos and baby powder and lied about it, knowing that it was there, gave cancer to children, didn't care. Cool. Glad they're on the run.
Moderna is doing very well.
Moderna, the one that's tied directly to Moncef Slaoui, tied directly to numerous NIH individuals that have a financial profit motive to make sure that's the way it goes. Like, no conflicts of interest there. And of course, Moderna is the one working on the mRNA messenger vaccine, the genetically modifying us. All of them are experimental. This one is the most dangerous, in my opinion. That's not the only one doing that, by the way, but it's just funny how these are the groups we're talking about.
Is doing very well, and we have numerous others.
He mentioned Pfizer as well, which is just another example of one of the groups that, by the way, I understand that Pfizer is the only one that's completely disconnected even from the NIH, which is interesting.
We also have others that we're working on very closely with other countries, in particular Europe.
Let me follow up with you, because this is...
And again, that's the vaccine that is coming. Right. And I want to reiterate that when this first started, and I asked numerous Trump supporters, and I said, okay, what will you say when Trump endorses the vaccine? I didn't say force it. I didn't say he would do anything other than endorse it. And they said that will never happen. More than one of them said that will never happen. That's a direct quote. I'm not going to name anybody, but the point is that, well, here we are. And now when I ask them the same question, they go, well, he's not going to make it mandatory. What do you have to say about the thing you said last time? You know, and there's just an equivocation. Well, he didn't really endorse it. He's just saying we need it. He's saying and it's good to have, and we have therapeutics too. This is what we deal with. He clearly is endorsing this. He made Operation Warp Speed. It's a military intelligence agenda. Okay. This is where we are. So the next time when it comes around and it's something else that I said that would happen, they're going to have another justification for why we're there. The point is we were there and we are there. That's what matters. Not the people who are too blind to acknowledge that we got there and allow you to get to the next dangerous step. We all need to realize this is how these things work.
Information. You have said a vaccine is coming soon, within weeks now. Your own officials say it could take well into 2021 at the earliest for enough Americans to get vaccinated. And even then, they say the country will be wearing masks and distancing into 2022. Is your timeline realistic?
Understand, that's his experts. See, they're talking about Donald Trump's task force and the people working with him are saying that. Right? Make sure you understood that properly. His team is telling you this is going to potentially be happening until 2022. By the way, that's what Gates said too. Interesting. Now, Trump says something different right here. And if all you live on is what your perspective presidential candidate says to you, then you're in for some trouble, ladies and gentlemen. But that's what's happening right now. Trump says that and they go, yeah, see, we knew it. And it's like, okay, nothing's even happened yet. How do you know anything? But because he said it, it's gospel. That's the problem. And by the way, the same thing's happening with Biden, but to a lesser degree, I would argue, than how aggressively supportive people are on Trump's side. But it's just statements. And he said statements just like that, that they jumped into, that ended up not happening, just like the one I just said. I argue this is going to go exactly like they're telling you it's going to go. And regardless of what Trump says about anything, we already have the ID 2020 tied to the vaccine cards. We've already got airline lobbies discussing using these, having your vaccine cards so you can't, whether or not you can fly. We're going to go over examples of that already happening, I believe, in Australia, where they're changing those flight cards you use in the airplanes onto an electronic app. And that's going to be tied to your vaccine card. They're already talking about this stuff, which means financial and social exclusion. Trump can say he won't give it to you. He can say that it won't be mandatory. He can say that there's therapeutics. That won't change the reality of creating a system that doesn't allow you to operate without that card.
No, I think my timeline is going to be more accurate. I don't know that they're counting on the military the way I do, but we have our generals lined up, one in particular, that's the head of logistics.
Counting on the military like I do. So the argument, first of all, none of that has anything to do with the safety of the vaccine. Right. The fact he's talking about the military. So that's we're already at the point where the vaccine's in your hands. So the distribution of it. So it's just interesting that the most important part of this entire process is the part that they're paying the least amount of attention to, flying as fast as they can, because Trump said Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer told him that was the case. Good thing we're listening to the companies that got an obvious profit motive and who have lied about safety more than once in the past.
And this is a very easy distribution for him. He's ready to go as soon as we have the vaccine. And we expect to have 100 million vials as soon as we have the vaccine. He's ready to go.
Vice President Biden, your reaction?
I argue him saying vials is either, I think, just like something he's used to saying, or I argue that was something that was meant to be said, because I don't think they're going to be vials at all. I think what we're talking, what Derek's article just discussed in regard to the vaccine patches, in regard to the app eject, I mean, it does not seem feasible to roll out a plan that needs 300 million syringes and 300 million vials. That's actually, I believe, impossible based on where we currently stand. I've read two articles, one about the glass for the vials and one about some other part in the syringe and the fact that we just don't have the means to do this right now. So it's interesting. So that's why AppEject comes in, because they're talking about the plastic disposable ones, you know, with the accompaniment of a possible RFID chip on the outside of the vaccine, which we've talked about numerous times. The point being that I found it interesting that he said vial specifically when most of the discussion is about the opposite. I think there's a reason that was said.
40% of Americans say they would definitely agree to take a coronavirus vaccine if it was approved by the government. What steps would you take to give Americans confidence in a vaccine if it were approved?
Make sure it's totally transparent. Have the scientists of the world see it, know it, look at it, go through all the processes. And by the way,
I completely agree with that, by the way. And that this is exactly what Whitney and I were saying. And no, that doesn't mean we're supporting Biden just because we have a similar point. Same applies to Trump. That's just lazy thinking. The point, though, is that he's right. The idea that this whole thing needs, is obligated to be transparent. You are paying for it. Your tax dollars are what is going towards creating this program in its entirety. They're using your money to make this program, not telling you how they're spending it, the people involved, other than specific. I mean, it's the lack of transparency in regard to the vaccine itself. The fact that Whitney was pointing out that the HHS is not even, they said they don't even have the contracts. The idea that the FDA says they're not even allowed at the table. This is incredible, not only unprecedented, but just simply dangerous. You have the entirety of people surrounding this project are people that do not, in a general sense, their job is not to care about your safety. And I would argue in almost every other sense, they simply do not. I would argue that the FDA also probably has very little interest in actual safety outside of political safety. But in this case, we're talking about the diametric opposite of that. So it should be transparent. And this all everybody should have the right to know what's happening with this thing that is very dangerous, that seems to be creeping towards the idea of being a necessity of life in the future that they're building.
This is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark...
Which, by the way, I shouldn't have stopped you right there. That was the important part. But by the way, he's correct. And I find it interesting that it's something that people don't talk about, like the fact that he kept saying, it's going to be over. And there's no saying, this is where the China tricked us part comes in, right? That you can be catastrophically wrong. And I would argue that that was always the play, right? Because I don't think this thing is even close to as dangerous as we're being told. But you have to give the illusion of incompetence to justify the lies they're being told, to justify the wildly trumped up numbers. No pun intended. Interesting. Now, this is the part that is most important, because this is what I almost dropped out of my chair when I heard him say this.
Would you take to give Americans confidence in a vaccine if it were approved?
Make sure it's totally transparent. Have the scientists of the world see it, know it, look at it, go through all the processes. And by the way, this is the same fellow who told you this is going to end by Easter last time. This is the same fellow who told you that, don't worry, we're going to end this by the summer. We're about to go into a dark winter. A dark winter.
I can't even believe that this is so clumsy. Like, even the fact that he repeated it twice. It's just incredible. I mean, I hope you guys have continued to see the stuff that we're talking about. The stuff that we have continued, that Whitney Webb's entire series on specifically the Dark Winter article, which since I'm talking about it, I'll just show you real quick. It's unbelievable to me that this is so clear. This is actually what I said about it in the tweet. I just said, did Biden just say Dark Winter twice? I mean, I almost dropped out of my chair. I really did. I'll get to that stuff in a minute. But this is the article that I hope you guys will take the time to read in its entirety. And I got frustrated earlier because somebody shared that tweet and said, see, this is what Biden's going to do. Here's why you should vote for Trump. And I'm like, gosh darn it. Like, she didn't even read the article. She doesn't even understand that Trump is mentioned 11 times in this article. Like, it's just incredible to me that people don't want to do their due diligence just because I said, look, Biden said something and it looks scary. Let's share it out and pretend that, you know, they're both the same thing. All of them are behind this whole thing. Now, obviously, they have their differences. But if you can't see how the same agenda continues to march forward, regardless of who is there in that puppet seat, then you're just not paying attention. Right? All the differences. I mean, I don't want to get bogged down into the Obama Trump scenario because it's wasted on deaf ears. People don't want to hear the obvious if they support that person. Which, you know, I mean that generally broad, not just Trump, but whoever we're talking about. Now, back to the point.
And he has no clear plan, and there's no prospect that there's going to be a vaccine available for the majority of the American people before the middle of next year.
President Trump, your reaction, he says you have no plan.
I don't think we're going to have a dark winter at all. We're open.
And I really, to the core of my being, believe that that was very much planted. The idea that, well, we're not going to have a dark winter. And that's actually what people are arguing online right now. Did you hear that? You know, and everyone is all of a sudden discovering the dark winter exercise, which is what this is about. It's an exercise. Consider it like a Crimson Contagion, an Event 201 scenario. But this is the one we continue to play at the beginning of the videos, where we see Robert Kadlec back on the news saying, whoa, we're in for a really dark winter. We saw Rick Bright come on and say, we're in for the darkest winter in history. And I'm going to show you since we're talking about it, I might as well show you again. Show you the thing that I should have just showed you a second ago, but decided to get to it since we're getting into it. But this is the reality here. Here's somebody saying to share this. Thank you. Saying, oh, this is what was interesting, by the way, when I try to bring this article up. Oh, now it's working. Okay, good. It says London lockdown. The mayor of London warns of a dark winter ahead. As he puts it, telling the people they face a dark winter. He's sending a stark warning to people. telling your constituents you're in for a dark winter. Like this is, it's just crazy to me. But this was the other part right here. This is just a couple of them that somebody just happened to tag on to my tweet. Thank you for doing that, by the way, Suburban Farmer. It says Britain braced for dark winter, right? As we're still in that long dark winter. Ken Skates gives a call for kindness during mental health crisis as dark winter approaches. London lockdown, dark winter. I just showed you multiple examples the other day of the same thing. It's so clear how they seed these things. Do you really think it's a coincidence that everybody's just running with this term, that it's just in the ether and we're all just grabbing? No, it's clearly being driven. And there's a reason for that. They're seeding the concept. They want you to believe that the winter we're going into is going to be chaotic because every single simulation and exercise they've run has concluded that it would end in disaster. Right? I made this joke with Whitney the other day. Do you realize that they've never once had a simulation where they got done and they go, oh, good, it's all going to work out perfectly. Oh, look at that. We simulated the election and everything goes fine and we all win. No, they never do that. They always do the simulation and it says, oh, look, it ends in martial law. It ends in chaos. It ends in no election and a postpone. It's every single time. And that's what they're doing here. They're telling you what's going to happen. I really, again, reiterate the fact that you need to read this article to understand. I'll just read this opening part here. It says the leaders of two controversial pandemic simulations that took place just months before the coronavirus crisis, Eventual One and Crimson Contagion, which both you should be aware of, share a common history. The 2001 biowarfare simulation Dark Winter. Dark Winter not only predicated the 2001 anthrax attacks and predicted, and that's what I was going to say, and did predict, but some of its participants had clear foreknowledge of those attacks. That's a fact, by the way, after the facts. It's incredible. And this is what they're telling you is coming. How many times does this have to happen before we start asking the right questions, you know?
Up our country, we've learned and studied and understand the disease, which we didn't at the beginning. When I closed and banned China from coming,
I don't understand why this is. That's simply not true. I mean, I'm not. And again, his action stopped specific people. There were people that weren't Chinese that were allowed to come back. Right. I mean, and I'm not even arguing that shouldn't have happened. I'm just simply saying what he's claiming is just not true. There were actions that were taken, sure. And that was pretty much the only thing that I saw for a long time. But at the end of the day, what it boils down to is a restriction on the border. So if you're actually talking about stopping some kind of pandemic flow, only stopping some of the people doesn't really do anything. Sort of like wearing a cloth mask that only stops 3% of your droplets from coming out of your mouth, right? But they keep saying this, and he acts like that one thing saved everybody's lives. But no, it didn't really.
Heavily infected, and then ultimately Europe. But China was in January. Months later, he was saying I was xenophobic. I did it too soon. Now he's saying, oh.
And to that point, he's right. I mean, they played this as bad as I've seen. They try to come out as, oh, look at what they're doing. They're attacking China. They're racist or whatever he said. And yes, they very clearly tried to make that point. I mean, look at Joe Biden's face right there. It's almost funny. He's like, ah, dang it. You know, but they did come around the other side and try to make the reverse argument, which, by the way, Trump does all the damn time. These are the same kind of thing. They're the same kind of political doublespeak that they all do. But Trump is correct in this point.
I should have moved quicker, but he didn't move quicker. He was months behind me, many months behind me. And frankly, he ran the H1N1 swine flu.
And now this is one of the problems I have with this entire discussion, and is the idea that he continues to point to Obama's administrations as if that is entirely reflective on Joe Biden. Now, clearly, he's the vice president. And yes, there is a level of reflection that can be made on those actions. But let's not suddenly make the vice presidency a position that we all know that it's not. It is a symbolic, ridiculous, waste of time position. Now, I'm being kind of facetious. There's plenty of things that happen. But at the end of the day, it's almost kind of an insider joke. The vice presidency is, people would rather be the Speaker of the House, I've heard, than the vice president. The point is, at the end of the day, to make all these things about Joe Biden is a clumsy and lazy argument. They're just trying to play on the ignorance of people out there that don't know any better. And that seems to be what Trump does all the time, playing to the lowest common denominator. And in this case, that maybe even a smart political move, but I find it gross. But the point is, we can play this next part here.
was in January. Months later, he was saying I was xenophobic. I did it too soon. Now he's saying, oh, I should have moved quicker. But he didn't move quicker. He was months behind me, many months behind me. And frankly, he ran the H1N1 swine flu, and it was a total disaster, far less lethal. But it was.
Oh, you're not supposed to say that. He's right, by the way. But that was another ploy. That was another psyop. They lied to us about how bad it was, and they still pretend. By the way, there's like 11 fact check articles. Donald Trump downplays H1N1 because you can't say that. You can't pretend that one we sold you was a big deal back then, trying to push all these different vaccines, right? It's funny that he plays this game where he, like, this is like him mentioning 9/11 in the 2016 thing, right? It's. You can't pretend that that's the case and then pretend that what we're doing now is no big deal. But the idea that you're making it out to be Joe Biden's responsibility of all the things that Obama was behind predominantly as the president, again, is just, it doesn't really make sense. And the same thing in regard to the cages argument, which I thought was just so embarrassing to watch. That the we're not going to get into it today, but the idea that this discussion of immigration comes up, and the idea that there's all these children that have been separated from their families, which I don't know why anybody would think is a good thing. It's not to suggest that Obama didn't have all kinds of problems in the same regard. As I understand it, there wasn't the exact same policy, but there were similar situations where similar things happened. But at the end of the day, what we're talking about is a situation now that I do believe was a vindictive action meant to disincentivize people from coming across the border illegally. But I still think it's wrong. I mean, you shouldn't be separating families from themselves. That just kind of strikes at the core values of what this country was a long time ago, or what we tell ourselves it was. But the point being is that they have all these children that were separated. And the argument is that that was because of Trump's policies, which no one can deny that. And all he can do is continue to attack him for Obama's administration. And all he keeps saying is, who built the cages, Joe? And that's just stupid, because does anybody think that these things, I mean, he makes a good point that when it first came out, they made the picture of the cages and it was a great point. They said, oh, that's Trump. And no, it was from Obama's time. And that was embarrassing for them. Ever since then, nobody's confused about the fact that these cages were there and the detention centers were there from before Trump got here. And so instead of addressing the actual point of how his policy has actually hurt these families, he just keeps saying, who built the cages, Joe? Who built the cages, Joe? And it's just like a child. And it's embarrassing. And it's not. And it's so clumsy and obvious that all you're just drilling in a repetitive point, and that all of his falls will repeat when that actual genuine point comes up. You know, I mean, it's frustrating. And that's the kind of thing we see. My reason I'm even saying this right now is because that is grade A politician move.
Total disaster. Had that had this kind of numbers, 700,000 people would be dead, right?
Didn't he just say that it wasn't that serious, though? Right? I mean, and the point being that I know he's increasing it right there, but that just doesn't even make sense even then. Like, it just seems to contradict what he said before. But the idea that you're pretending that it would have killed all these people, again, you're just playing into the same concept.
But it was a far less lethal disease. Look, his own person who ran that for him, who, as you know, was his chief of staff, said it was catastrophic. It was horrible. We didn't know what we were doing. Now he comes up.
Sort of sounds like where we are right now.
Tells us how to do this. Also, everything that he's.
Yes, this is live.
But the way every single move that he said we should make, that's what we've done. We've done all of it. But he was way behind us.
Vice President Biden, your response.
My response is he is xenophobic, but not because he shut down access from China. And he did it late after 40 countries had already done that. In addition to that, what he did, he made sure that we had 44 people that were in there in China trying to get to Wuhan to determine what exactly the source was. What did the president say in January? He said, no, he said, this is, he's being transparent. The president of China is being transparent. We owe him a debt of gratitude. We have to thank him. And then what happened was we started talking about using the Defense Act.
Right. So, and notice how Trump didn't even shake his head, because that's completely true, because he did say that, which seems to be weirdly counterintuitive and kind of just contradictory to what we're being told now. But the idea in the beginning was, yeah, you know, he's being completely transparent. Everything is fine. And which he almost instantaneously shifted into China didn't let us know, which, by the way, I have to say this because it's in my mind, this point that I keep seeing about people saying that Pompeo says we're in a live exercise and Trump says you should have let us, you know, you should have let us know. And how dumb do you have to be to think that Donald Trump is actually saying off the cuff in the middle of an interview that, oh, Pompeo didn't tell us that it was a live exercise. I mean, gosh darn it, why are people so gullible? If you actually do the smallest amount of due diligence, 40 seconds before he says that, when you know, don't just watch the clip on Twitter, he actually keeps saying, China should have let us know. China should have let us know. And then when Pompeo goes in to say that, which, by the way, is wildly alarming because we're not in a live exercise. That's crazy. And I said it was then. But Trump continues to say they should have let us know. He's talking about China. I just can't stand those little dumb points where people just cannot think for themselves. They run with the party narrative because they want to make it sound like Trump is admitting to everybody on a live interview that Pompeo just said we were in a live exercise. It's crazy.
Sure, we go out and get whatever is needed out there to protect people. And again, I go back talking about using the Defense Act to make sure we go out and get whatever is needed out there to protect people. And again, I go back to this. He had nothing. He did virtually nothing. And then he gets out of the hospital and he talks about, don't worry, it's all going to be over soon. Come on. There's not another serious scientist in the world who thinks it's going to be over soon.
Are you serious? Like, I can't see that. I actually think that of every single thing that was said in this entire debate is one of the most outrageous statements. I mean, and this is just flat out wrong. But I mean, Trump also says something, I forgot to point it out before, about how, you know, that our numbers are, you know, our death rate, or forget what he said, was, you know, lower than most, except a few countries. Of course, we're just going to casually leave out Sweden, which is obviously better than everybody. But what he's saying right here is just, it's just incredible to me that we keep arguing this, that we continue to allow these arguments.
All going to be over soon. Come on. There's not another serious scientist in the world who thinks it's going to be over soon.
I could literally list off, I'm not going to do it right now because everybody's going to have their opinions, but I mean, seriously, probably 25 legitimate professional medical experts that have come out and argued the exact thing he just said wasn't true. And what about the entire, you're telling me that there's not a serious scientist in all of Sweden? What about any other country that's saying that? Like, that is just a flat out lie. I can't stand it. I didn't see Trump say anything about it.
Your reaction?
I say over soon. I say we're learning to live with it. We have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a...
Okay, now here's the one of the big points that I want to really make sure we don't miss. Yes, he goes on to argue that we don't want to lock up. This right here, the reason I'm even showing you this is because this is the two-party paradigm in COVID world, right? This is the new evolution of your politics. What they're doing right now is giving you the problem, reaction, solution kind of scenario. So what he's arguing is that we should open up. Joe is saying, you know, that we at least consider locking back up. Neither of them, I think, are actually going to do those things in entirely like they're saying. But what they want you to see is the opposite. You got the Republican on the left saying we want more free, more open, and, you know, no lockdowns. You got Biden on the side saying that we want more, right? They get you to voting on these things. But guess what happens no matter what? As long as they keep you operating in the COVID mentality where you're either opening up and living with COVID or locking back down and trying to fight it off, the reality is that they're both still living in the COVID narrative. And the idea is that those are both going to roll out the things we're going to talk about next. Those are both going to allow contact tracing, the vaccine. Those are both going to allow the biosensor and bioelectric medicine discussions that are going to be going along with that, which almost every person involved with the Operation Warp Speed seems to be speaking about. That is the problem here. So when he says we're going to have to learn to live with it, that should be horrifying to everybody because that is your new normal. Now, I know that people that support him don't want to tell themselves that because he just said we're going to open back up. And yeah, you know what? We should be. That should have happened a long time ago. If he believed in your constitutional rights, that should have been over the moment this started. Didn't happen, though. So now we're at a point where he's straight up telling you these things and still allowing it to happen. That should bother you in the first place. But if we learn to live with this, and here, just listen to it again, because it's not saying that, you know, it's not something we should be concerned about.
There's serious scientists in the world who thinks it's going to be over soon.
President Trump, your reaction?
I say over soon. I say we're learning to live with it. We have no choice. We can't lock ourselves up in a basement like Joe does. He has the...
Of course, using a little side jab and a point that's just a meme just to get you to stop thinking about what he just said or the reality that he is obviously operating within the COVID is this something we need to do something about, right? As opposed to just allow the reality of what it is to set in with people, that it's essentially the flu and that they're not, and even Trump himself will say in the beginning that it's not as dangerous, but now we need to learn to live with it and we need to change our lifestyle because of it, right? I mean, that is what he's talking about.
He has the ability to lock himself up. I don't know. He's obviously made a lot of money someplace, but he has this thing about living in a basement.
I agree with Joe's face on that. That was just a clumsy jab. I mean, what does that even mean? Sure. I know what he's getting at. And I agree. Actually, I think there's a lot of very, very suspicious and criminal money going along with the Biden family. So is Donald Trump's family.
People can't do that. By the way, I, as the president, couldn't do that. I'd love to put myself in the basement or in a beautiful room in the White House and go away for a year and a half.
So did he just say that he wants to do that? That he wants to lock himself down because this thing is dangerous? Yes, he actually just did. Now, of course, the game is going to be, well, he said that because he's trying to make a point and he doesn't really believe it. Sure, but he just said it. So if we're going to go off what he actually says and not his actions, but at this time we don't. Now we don't go off what he says. Now we pretend we know what he means by that. Isn't that what the mainstream media does all the time? Yeah, it is.
So Pierce, I can't do that. And Kirsten, every meeting I had, and I'd meet a lot of families, including Gold Star families and military families. Every meeting I had, and I had to meet them. I had to. It would be horrible to have canceled everything. I said, you know, this is dangerous and you catch it. You know, I caught it. I learned a lot.
So now we just said it's dangerous. He did say that, guys. That's not, I mean, you have to understand that he's either contradicting what he said in the beginning or he's lying on one of them. Is it dangerous? Well, I would argue most of his followers don't think that. He just said he would lock himself up if he could. Are we taking him at his word or not?
I learned a lot. Great doctors, great hospitals. And now I recovered. 99.9 of young people recovered.
Correct. More than that, technically, we're talking about a 0% chance of dying.
99% of people recovered.
Well, technically, 0.00001 or something like that. But the CDC posted a zero.
We have to recover. We can't close up our nation. We have to open our schools.
Except we already did, though. And that's only happening because of the national state of emergency that started it all off. And then you allowed the governors to do it so that you could criticize the actions that didn't hurt your election, right? That's not what real leaders do, right? Real leaders own the situation and make choices and then own those choices.
And we can't close up our nation, or you're not going to have a nation.
And of course, the CDC has said young people can get sick with COVID-19 and can pass it. Vice President Biden.
Oh, and let me move on really quickly because I just had to insert my opinion. God, I can't stand these people. Like, that's what she just did. Oh, the kids can get sick. Let's move on. You know, you're not a moderator. It's just so pathetic that these mainstream people are so clearly hyped up on their own opinion that they even insert publicly when millions of people are watching their own opinion that half the audience wouldn't agree with. It's just incredible to me. But that's where we're going to leave it for now. I took longer than I wanted to on that anyway, but it's important. It really does show us a lot about what's actually happening in all of this. And I got to tell you, I hope we can begin to see how clearly it's happening on both sides of this illusion that is the two-party paradigm. Now, moving forward past that point, where was I? We talked about the Dark Winter stuff. I really hope you guys will read that. Oh, you know what? See, and I did this. I had some points that I had pulled up from that. See, it's all the kind of new setup here, but for parts within that debate. So let me just show you a couple of those to shout out Robert Inlakesh here. This is a video he just came out with today. Here's a link to his Patreon. I hope you will support him because he's telling me today he has a new video coming for T-Lab soon, but he is under aggressive attack right now on all platforms. It's probably our fault for working with him because they just don't like The Last American Vagabond. Oh, those truthful things, you know, can't have that. And Robert is nothing, but you know, if he's anything, he's wildly truthful, right? And that's something they just don't like. But here is a video he did. I'll include this. I hope you watch it for yourself. But he makes a point in regard to. I think I actually cut this out. That's why. But Biden attacks. No, he did say this. Attacks Trump on deaths under his watch. And the point that Robert makes is, well, yeah, if you think, as Biden said, that you shouldn't be president if that happened on your watch, well, then Biden shouldn't be president, seeing as how way more than that happened on his watch. But the point applies just the same way to Donald Trump and his foreign policy. But the idea is that you could even discuss other examples of that. But I hope you watch this video because it's the kind of point that nobody who is in the fake mainstream journalism field is actually going to discuss. Now, this is from the Russian news agency. It reads, next few months will be very difficult COVID-wise, according to the World Health Organization head. After everything that we know is happening right now. and all the information we continue to see, as the deaths continue to go down, as the reality of all of the numbers anyway are wildly suspect, and Sweden is continuing to prove to everybody that what we're doing is wrong. Here is what they have to say, that your dark winter is clearly coming the next few months. Right, this is what that dark winter comment is supposed to mean. They say several upcoming months will be especially difficult in regards to the coronavirus, according to the World Health Organization Director General. Too many countries are now see an exponential increase in infections. By the way, that's not even, well, I don't want to confuse anybody, but we're talking about PCR verified, which means a potential upwards of 90% false positive. Now, I want to clarify something, too. I've made the point in regard to the opposite reality of that, that it could mean false negatives. And that is the case in some regard, but it's not the same amount. Because what we're talking about in regard to the 90% false positives is in regard to how these things work. Because remember, what we're talking about is the PCR test blows this up to such a heightened level. It's so magnified. And that's what we're talking about, the cycle threshold. And the point being that it shouldn't be over 30 in the cycle threshold, because that's how you get the obvious and almost guaranteed false positives. And then you come to find out that most of these places are upwards of 45 on the threshold. And that's exactly the point. And they seemingly haven't changed it. And that's why we're continuing to get false positives. You almost wonder if it's intentional. I clearly think it is. But the point being that the way it works is to magnify the virus or whatever they're looking at to such a degree so they can then decide whether or not it's present. And the idea being that you cannot decide right then using PCR in any case, whether or not it's active, whether or not it is infectious, right? This is the point. So people can end up never even getting the virus, even though it's in their system, and they will still say you're a case because they see it. But the point being is that the false positive is because of how much it's being expanded. And the idea that you're making a lot of assessments based on the presence of it when it's the forest from the trees is the perfect analogy there. But you see, that doesn't apply the other way. You don't have the potential to give yourself a false negative in the same way, right? I mean, I've gone over this ad nauseum on the show. I think I've done at least three different shows on the PCR test, and I hope people will continue to question why, out of all the things we have available, they continue to use that test, even right now. Probably because they like the wiggle room. That's my take. But exponential increase in those things based on a test that's probably giving us false positives. And that is now leading to hospitals and intensive care units running close or above capacity. What happened to the idea that we would be just overflowing, overwhelmed all of our hospitals now? Aren't we in the middle of a pandemic, right? We're not even in pandemic two yet. Even according to these people, we're still in the same thing, right? So that didn't happen, except in places that we can see we're obviously doing wrong things, like in New York. Or even in those cases, we saw examples of hospitals that weren't overrun. So what is the argument here? We're increasing cases or infections based on a test that has false positives, and hospitals are running close. So they're running normally then. Scare everybody based on something that you don't understand. We urge leaders to take immediate action to prevent further unnecessary deaths, essential health services from collapsing, and schools shutting again. So they're urging leaders to take action. You understand what they're asking? He is asking people to shut down. He is asking them to take action now before there's a problem, which leads to something we're going to get to in a minute, where they're saying we're going to do this now because we're getting ahead of it, which is exactly what he's asking people to do. Which means that's not justified. You're not in danger, but they're going to do it before the danger comes. It's almost like we're just doing a global medical pre-crime experiment. Now, it says, he noted the shortage of oxygen in hospitals of a number of nations. According to the official, some of the poorest of states only have 5 to 20% of oxygen. So again, they're screaming about how we need, well, oxygen specifically, but understand we're talking about ventilators here. That's being intubated is in regard to this exact kind of scenario. So I just find it interesting that they continue to push this. Again, they know what we know. Do they want people to die? It's an honest question. Now, of course, I'm all mixed up. This was something I was going to say after we got done with the debate, but I find it interesting is this is what Donald Trump has to say. And this isn't, of course, after this was on the 21st, but he says, if I do not sound like a typical Washington poll, he's playing up for the election. Right? Because, you know, 4 years in Washington is not, you know, doesn't, you guess you're not a politician then, right? Like, it's just so funny how he's going to always say he's not a politician, regardless of how long he's a politician. It says, it's because I'm not a politician. If I do not always play by the rules of the Washington establishment, it's because I was elected to fight for you harder than anyone else ever has before. Now, those are nice flowery words, except the fact that what he's literally saying right there is that he's breaking the rules. Now, I argue there's plenty of, quote, rules that deserve to be broken, especially ones that are created by criminals, you know, even like himself, but that's not helping my point. The idea is he's telling you that he, I mean, this is meant to make, for his supporters, it's meant to be like, look, we're not playing by the Washington rules and we're, trying, whatever. The idea is this translates into we don't follow the rules. That's how I see that. And that's exactly how it's playing out, that there is no treaty, no resolution, nothing that matters, nothing that they can't just put aside and march forward without caring about. No international law, no anything. None of these things matter. Might is right. So by not playing by the rules of the Washington establishment, he's basically saying I can do what I want. And to some degree with Washington establishment, again, there's something to be said there, but not the way he is operating. But of course, by saying that, now anything he does that's now we would maybe say is even, a crime, to them it'll be, well, he just doesn't play by the rules of the establishment. And that's why he said it. It's very clear. I saved this just in case I missed the Dark Winter part in there. But remember, I want to just reiterate the idea that these ventilators that Trump keeps boasting about are killing people. And yet they keep talking about it, keep pushing it, keep making it, keep forcing people to make it. Now, Briss brings us to the point, what I would argue the main point of today, a fantastic article by Derek Brose. I want you to look at these things and understand we're talking about this is what we're talking about. These are the patches right here. This is one kind of variation of one of the company's version of like one of those Perfusa types, the injectable platforms. Now, this is one that's literally in the neck. We're going to hear Monsef Salawi mention this in a second. These are not hypothetical. These are not fake news or conspiracy theory. These are all literally being built, most of them actually being produced at this moment. The head of Operation Warp Speed, that's Monsef Salawi, handpicked by Donald Trump, and the Gates Foundation are pushing bioelectrics and vaccine patches. He says, to understand the goals of Operation Warp Speed, we must understand Dr. Monsef Salawi and his connections to Big Pharma and the Gates Foundation. Let me get this up real quick. There we go. Now, it starts by saying, we're going to go over most of this article, but I hope you're reading this entirety. Always doing a great job, Derek. Now, it says, in mid-May, Donald Trump announced he was appointing Dr. Monsef Salawi, a former executive with vaccine manufacturer GlaxoSmithKline, which right there, we all should have been like, what? That's ridiculous. Didn't happen, though. Right? That's because, enemies closer and I don't play by the Washington establishment rules and, whatever. Ah, that's why, right? No, it's because this is an obvious conflict of interest and this is somebody who is playing the globalist game. And no, I don't mean Jews when I say globalist. I mean globalists. They're always trying to bend these things into what they want you to hear. It's just so pathetic, which shows you how scared they are of what we're doing. By the way, for those who don't know what I meant right there, there's a whole discussion about how globalist is the new dog whistle. It's just so stupid. But this is a problem. The guy who is literally, the guy has ties to Moderna on the board of Moderna and ties to GlaxoSmithKline. And then we point this person as somebody who is going to be deciding the direction of the Operation Warp Speed vaccine program. It's just disgusting. And of course, this is the last kind of person. This is a guy who is adamant, outspoken about bioelectrics. Take a look at this.
Let's go.
Central nervous system is in our brain, highly integrated, extraordinarily complex. Peripheral nerves are stemming from the brain through various proceeds and go, for instance, through the vagus nerve that you have described.
And that's the nerve they're talking about. And this is a program. It's a project that's being built right now. It's one of these viable bioelectric sensor types.
And branch into organs more and more specifically. And our concept is to understand, read the electrical language that nerves, just as they come to the spleen or to the muscle of controlling our lungs or into the pancreas or into our GI tract, get to that nerve, read what they're telling our organ, and if we read that something is wrong, correct it, and do that through microchips or nanochips that we would implant on that nerve, have them very local, so they need to be very close to the organ and very specific by definition because they're very local, but also because they only correct when they read something is wrong, they would be temporarily specific. And there would be no compliance issue because they would be there with the patients all the time.
I find it interesting. We're talking about something that decides for itself, apparently. There's not some outside program here. So what happens when that goes wrong? What happens then? Right? I guess we don't ask those questions, right? This is going to act and do something that's going to like modify your body or commit some kind of surgery. They're talking about having a problem inside your body and having this thing do something about it.
We elected then to, how will we go about that? We scouted the world actually for a year during 2011 and found that incredible progress was made in the various scientific disciplines that are required to make this happen.
So we're at a point now where suddenly all these things are being made and we're in a good place to make this roll out. This is what they're talking about. This guy, Monsef Salawi, is adamant about bioelectric medicine. This is something he's talked about numerous times, and this is the leader of Operation Warp Speed, who's in charge of your vaccine that's already experimental. This whole concept of bioelectric medicine, which he is a leader in convincing people that that's the new direction, is what they're, this is what they are all telling us is the future. Right? They're telling you that you need to start implanting devices in your body or wearing or wearables on the outside of your body, which, by the way, is just a step towards the direction of implantables, because that's what he is telling you right here and in numerous other times. But the point being that this is what they want you to believe is the new direction. Instead of taking, you know, a holistic approach and doing things to allow your body to heal itself, no, we go even further and get more invasive and do more things and just start transhumanizing your body, right? Because that's what we should be doing. Or that's something that they have been trying to accomplish for decades, and now they see a perfect opportunity to drive it in. Back to the point. Focusing on following his education, first of all, it says, this is when Trump appointed him to lead, in May, Operation Warp Speed, the public-private partnership, which means that's why we don't get to see anything about it. The transparency isn't there. Apparently, the FDA is not even allowed at the table, and that's because of the public-private partnership. We can't even request FOIA requests from this. And you're paying for that. And I guess because it's Trump, then I guess it's all for our own good, right? It's incredible how one person in this place can stop us from thinking like adults and realizing that we need to know what's happening in this, especially because it's our money. We have a right to, and because it's dangerous. But no, let's just keep it completely silent and quiet and secret because the Democrats, right? But it says, public-private partnership launched by Trump administration to rapidly develop and distribute a COVID-19 vaccine, which, by the way, we now know is going to be distributed by the military. As he said more than once now. Following his education, Salawi joined the pharmaceutical industry, serving on the board of directors of GlaxoSmithKline between 2006 and 2015, which, by the way, was the time when he was openly and adamantly speaking about bioelectrics and the future and how right about the time we're in now was when this would be coming around. He left that. Salawi served in the several senior research development R&D roles with GlaxoSmithKline during his time with the company, including chairman of Global Vaccines. More recently, Salawi sits on the boards of several pharmaceutical companies and biotechnology organizations, which is what we're talking about. In 2016, so he left GlaxoSmithKline, Salawi was appointed to the board of directors of Moderna Therapeutics, a biotech company that is leading the way for messenger RNA, which we know by now, therapeutics and vaccines. Moderna is also developing one of the COVID-19 vaccines, which might be administered to the public, right? Of course, I've been saying from the beginning, that's going to be the one that gets picked. We'll see if I'm right. But this is a person who is openly involved in experimental bioelectric medicine, and he's now in charge. It says, when Salawi was appointed to head Operation Warp Speed, critics noted the conflicts of interest related to him leading to the effort to develop a COVID-19 vaccine while holding stock in two of the leading vaccine manufacturers. That is really stupid. That would never, I mean, can you imagine if that happened under Obama? They would have lost their minds. But now because it's Trump's administration, it's okay. I mean, here's another interesting point, though. Not even the Democrats raised this point. Why? Because they're all involved in this agenda. It says, Salawi said he would sell his Moderna stock. This I found very interesting. I didn't know this until Derek wrote this article. Salawi said he would sell his Moderna stock worth a reported $12 million and resign from the board of directors. However, in a recent interview, Salawi said he was keeping around 10 million of the stock, so the vast majority, in his former company, GlaxoSmithKline, calling it his retirement. Oh, I see. So because you don't want to sell the money that you've invested into it, you're allowed a conflict of interest. Cool. Is that how that works? Next time I have a conflict of interest, I can go, but I want to make money though. Oh, okay. No worries then. You want to make money. We get it. It's just ridiculous. It's your retirement. That's just it. So, oh, they want to make it sound like it's some old man who needs his retirement. No, this guy is already wealthy. This is profit. He knows this is going to net him an exorbitant amount of money. This is going to be outrageous. This is the biggest financial boon for the 1.01% that I think I've ever seen. We've already seen $6-7 trillion or more go out the door to big business. This is going to be a huge and revolutionary idea. They see it. This is going to be the new biosecurity state. We're remodeling our entire lives around what this is. So sure, that 10 million is going to become, you know, a few billion, a few hundred billion, you know, who knows? That's a little more than your retirement. But the fact that that is enough to be like, sure, we'll just ignore the conflict of interest and allow you to keep the stock in one of the companies that you're deciding over who will win. So I wonder if he's going to pick something that will benefit him over something that won't. Probably not, because how dare you suggest that he would do something so immoral, right? I'm so righteous and indignant. Yeah, right. It's a matter of practice for you people to do exactly that. Benefit yourselves. ProPublica also reported that although Salawi, and by the way, when it does happen, scream that I was right for me. ProPublica was reported that although Salawi committed to donating any increase in the value of his holdings to the National Institute of Health, so he then said, well, you know, any extra, I'll go ahead and donate to the NIH. And that was another way that people let the argument go. They said, oh, okay, well, at least he's going to do that. His contract with the government specifies that the donation, guess what, may occur on the last death of the employee and his or her spouse. So not at all. Basically, he's 61 years old. That means that he will profit off of the shares that he should be already selling and the COVID-19 vaccines for the rest of his life and the life of his spouse. So why even put that in the clause? If he's dead and his family's dead, then there's no point. The point is the money will eventually go back to the government. So they're like, sure. That doesn't remove the conflict of interest. That's an absurd joke. But this is what happens in the broken system in which we live. It says another conflict involves federal laws that require government officials to reveal personal financial records and divest from companies related to their work. Another law that's being openly broken. It says Salawi would not take the job under these conditions and instead was hired as a contractor. Are we talking about the restaurant down the street or are we talking about the White House? Oh, it's okay. This is the kind of thing that Trump brings to the White House because he's done this kind of, you know, kind of slightly, you know, morally ambiguous legal dealings in regard to his businesses that he's openly wrote about, that's how you should do it. And here's what he's saying is that, well, here's what he did instead of saying, oh yeah, it's okay. You're legally supposed to be in this position, but we're going to just make it a contractor. Like we can just change the name of it. And then suddenly none of those things matter. So the next time I get any kind of government position, I'm just going to be like, just call me a contractor. Then I can profit off everything I'm doing. This is just wildly dishonest and it's barely veiled and neither side seems to have a problem with it. This says the move allows Salawi to operate under different ethical and financial rules. So a special situation. Why would they make this work? Allow him to be a contractor, allow him to keep his wild conflicts of interest and his profit when he was already one of the worst candidates in regard to conflicts of interest in a position that's already controversial about a experimental vaccine. It's just pretty stupid. But I guess no one cares other than us. I think I'm just outraged by that. Now, in pharmacovigilance, remember that means tracking you, bioelectrics, one other area of concern is the fact that several of the companies connected to Salawi are involved in the emerging field of bioelectrics. Salawi is currently partner at MediciX, or MedicIX investment firm, chairman of the board of Galvani Bioelectrics, chairman of the board at Sutrovax, and sits on the boards of Artisan Biosciences, Human Vaccines Project, and the aforementioned Moderna Therapeutics. Yeah, because he's not interested and financially invested in bioelectrics at all. Galvani Bioelectrics was formed out of an agreement with, guess who, Verily Life Sciences, LLC, formerly known as Google Life Sciences, an Alphabet company, and GlaxoSmithKline. Cool. So all the same people. It says the goal is to enable the research, development, and commercialization of bioelectric medicine. That's what this is all about. They want this to be the next prong of this focus of medical futures. It says using miniaturized implantable devices that can modify electric signals that pass along nerves in the body, including irregular or altered impulses that occur in many illnesses. But I thought that was fake news though, right guys? It says his method would be a new therapeutic modality alongside traditional medicines and vaccines. That's what they're driving toward. Galvani's plan to use miniature implantable devices within the body was described by MIT Technology Review as hacking the nervous system. Here's the article itself. Hacking the nervous system. Oh, well, of course, they got ad blockers and whatnot. But do you want something that will be hacking your nervous system or that will be at the disposal of somebody who may want to hack your nervous system? That's what they're rolling out. That's what MIT called what they're working on then and is literally coming to pass as we speak. In 2016, Salawi said, we hope to have approval and be in the marketplace in the next 7 to 10 years, which puts us right around now. A few, or maybe a year or two early, but of course we know that right now what we're talking about is the timeline I pointed out when I made this point before. 2015, went to Moderna. Right. When he got appointed, the process between then and now was when there was a gap. And the point is that we see the clear shift away from these things that he was saying were coming with the groups he was working with, who suddenly he jumps over to the White House and is now right in the general time frame of when he said these things would be available. It's almost like, I mean, why would those companies not be the one? I mean, it seems obvious that this is a sidestep from what they've always been working on, justified by COVID-19. And it's something that they've openly, and I mean openly, continued to push and say we need long before this. Now it's being pushed again, and we can't think past a year ago or seemingly a month ago or a day ago in regard to mainstream media. Now it says, Salawi's connection to Galvani Bioelectrics and their implantable devices feeds into public fears regarding the potential for COVID-19 vaccines to involve some sort of tracking mechanism, which allows the authorities to monitor the vital signs and location of patients, which is what we're going to get into next, which is quite literally what they're telling you they need. This is the idea of the pharmacovigilance. As Whitney Webb has reported, Salawi recently stated the U.S. government will partner with Google and Oracle to monitor vaccine recipients for up to 2 years. Meanwhile, Google's YouTube is censoring people who talk about the vaccine that they're working on. More conflicts of interest. They deleted us for doing the same. I wonder why they deleted us. Clearly, because we're pointing out what they're doing. It says very active pharmacovigilance surveillance system. Now ask yourself, in the beginning, maybe we're talking about phone apps and, you know, these kind of things, but the very people who have been screaming about how bioelectric implantables are where we need to be going, who are working on the program, are not going to bring that up. Are not going to argue that this would be a much better way to track and fight for 2 years afterward? Nah, they'll just leave it quiet. Spent years and decades on pushing this thing, and then they get into the White House and they just put it aside. Does anyone think that's going to happen? Salawi's favorite philanthropist, Bill Gates, also has a history of funding Vaxus, a biotech firm focused on developing a vaccine patch, which could eventually deliver a COVID-19 vaccine. Now, we've mentioned BARDA before, but this is where I'm able to make the point that we need to think about what BARDA is and how long it's been around. On October 5th, first of all, the Department of Health and Human Services, the Department of Health and Human Services, BARDA, which is Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority, right? So this is not new. This is not some new fringe thing. It's conspiracy theory, but we've been working on it for years. Awarded Vaxus $22 million to conduct phase 1 studies using their high density microarray patch. This is already happening while people tell us we're liars, right? The nano patch, originally developed by Professor Mark Kendall's research group at the Australian Institute of Bioengineering and Nanotechnology at the University of Queensland. Kendall is also listed as, guess what? Quote, an agenda contributor with the World Economic Forum, the international organization behind the promotion of the Great Reset. Who could have guessed? The WF site, the World Economic Forum site, notes that Kendall contributed to Biolistics technology, a specific set of gene editing, sometimes known as a gene gun, or biolistic particle delivery system to deliver DNA vaccines. you know, experimental, one that we haven't verified. Kendall's vaccine delivery system, get this, fires microparticulate vaccines into the skin at 1,500 miles per hour. It just seems incredible to me. But the idea that we're talking about somebody who is listed as a agenda contributor on the World Economic Forum website, talking about the Great Reset, talking about the very need to revolutionize these directions and go in the direction of biomedicine. Gee, I wonder if he's on that side too, right? It's just everywhere you look, you will find this connection. And we're pretending like this is fake news. In the last 9 months, it has become clear that nearly every aspect of the Operation Warp Speed program and the fight against COVID-19 in general involves financing from the Gates Foundation. The biotech and pharmaceutical companies working with the Gates Foundation are increasingly focused on the promotion of biosensors and patches, wearable technologies, and implantables. And we get deleted from pointing these things out. Right? Here's what we're talking about in regard to the patch. Maybe four prong, maybe more. We've seen them with a lot more than that. But the idea that this is the thing that they're not verifiably all going to be having these quantum dye dot tattoo stuff that's using the luciferase enzyme to leave that in your skin, which is what that is right there, so they can then scan a light over you and know whether you've been vaccinated. But I would simply argue that I don't know why we would assume this wouldn't be added without people's knowledge. Because I'm crazy, right? Because that's never been done before. It's not like the U.S. government has openly tested, or now it's openly, but tested 239 times using biological chemical weapons without the knowledge of Americans or people abroad. That's never happened, except they've admitted to that, right? They'll never do something without your knowledge, you crazy conspiracy theorists, like put fluoride in your water or put stuff in the sky or put, you know, those are all fake news until they're not, right? So here we are with this example, and this is something we should be asking. But the point here, guys, is this is the patch itself is one step further, but the wearables, let's say, the idea of not biochips yet, but the wearables of having like a watch on that tracks these things and has an app that can track, that can hold your vaccine card and say whether or not you've been vaccinated. You can scan and go in outside a building and so on, right? That is a step toward this. This is a step toward that. That's how this is going. And by the way, they're open about this. If you actually take the time to listen to what these people are talking about, they're talking about the evolution of this biomedicine step and that we need to carefully walk because people are hesitant and resistant. And this is what they're telling us. Of course, you can argue that some of them think it's for your best interest. I very much don't think that's a case across the board. Some of them probably do. But at the end of the day, these things are the boiling frog. This is the totalitarian tiptoe, one step at a time, using fear based on things, unjust fear, by the way, but numbers that aren't really there, saying, oh, we'll just get you to wear the watch just so you know, and we can track, you know, we can make sure that you're tracked and only you can see it though, which we all know won't be true. And then it goes to this and go, well, we need to make sure that you have it and the watch isn't working. We need something that's injectable. And then it goes to something like this, which is the direction that they're all actually talking about, the rise of biochipping. Now, this article, I believe, is from a little bit from July 2019. Not new, but I want you to think about this and realize this from 2019 as before we go into the next ones. Have you ever lost your keys or couldn't find your train ticket? And also realize that this whole discussion in and of itself is looked at as if it's a conspiracy, despite the fact that they promote it in places like Sweden, which is where we're going to talk about here. Which I also find it really interesting that the only country in the world that seemingly defied the direction of everybody else is also the one that's leading the world in biochip implantations. Maybe that means nothing, or maybe we're part of the old PSYOP, and that's the whole point, and they're going to eventually go that direction, and then it'll turn around to praising Sweden because they're doing the chips, and that's where we should all be going, and we were wrong about lockdowns. Who knows where it's going to go? But this is something that they are all, every one of them, saying we need to do. This is the future. According to them, in Sweden, a growing group of people have made such trivial problems a thing of the past. You know, losing your keys, finding a train ticket. Nah, you don't need any of that. The solution, a small microchip implanted in your skin. Simple little thing, you know? It says the biochip allows them to enter their office, gym, or home, or unlock their computer or smartphone by simply waving their hand in front of it. Hans, I'm really bad at these translations, but we'll just say Hans, is a biohacker who has been biochipped. A biohacker? Wait a minute. So this guy is a hacker of biotechnology, of biology, right? So why are we even talking to this guy? This sounds like a very dangerous person, but whatever, because that's the future we are going to, I guess. It says it has helped me get rid of 5 cards. I access my office, my gym. I have my business contacts on it so anyone can swipe me and get my details. Yeah, that sounds totally safe. I use it when I travel by train and buy stuff from a candy vending machine. Right. So don't worry about having all those crazy cards all over yourself. Just wear it on your hand so people can just walk by and scan your information right away from you. Right. Of course, there's going to be measures in place and blah, blah, blah. But every time, but there's measures in place for your credit cards right now. Right. We all pretend they're safe, but people can scan. People can walk by you in the airport these days and get your credit card information from scanning things in your bag. Okay. So let's pretend like that won't be end up happening here. We know it will. People will find a way to manipulate this system like they do every other. So think about a card that's in your wallet versus a card that's pasted to the front of your hand. Right. I mean, it's inside your, it's a chip in your hand, but that has your information on it. That has your credit card on it. So if someone's able to just walk by and scan your hand without you noticing versus it being in your wallet, which one sounds more safe to you? I mean, I'm sure they're really trying to sell you on the utility of it. Oh, look, I'm fumbling with all these cards in my hand. Like, it's like, oh, you mean those 5 slim cards that fit right in your wallet and you don't forget about it? It's like one of those commercials where they show you trying to like pack a shelf and you're like throwing the boxes everywhere. And it's just like, nobody does it like that, right? They're over accentuating the point. I find it to be ridiculously so. He says implant is only one part of it. Biotech is being radically democratized, much the same way computers were in the 1980s. Point being that this is your future. That's what they're telling you. Whereas microchipping is still mainly an underground subculture in most countries. that's just not true, by the way. It has been more broadly accepted in Sweden. It's not an underground subculture. This is something that's being openly pushed and discussed by the governments. See, this is showing you how aggressively they really want you to see this as some like organic movement for our future. The people want this. That's how they're trying to sell it to you. Now it says, even though the topic has gotten a lot of media attention recently because of people like us calling out what they're actually going to do, it is still a small niche, they say. A lot of growth is thanks to Johan Orstenlund. He's a founder of Biohacks, this guy right here. Look at Biohacks. Like, what is with these names talking about hacking either bioelectrics or biology? Doesn't that sound like the opposite of what we want? Somebody that's going to hack into the thing that's in your arm or your technology? It says being able to open the door to the office and turn off the alarm by waving my hand makes a big difference. I log into my computer in a split second and my password is never wrong because it's stored in my chip, which means it could easily be people who have the ability can access all of those things. Whereas before it was in my head or maybe written down if you're stupid, but that's fine. The fact that it's saved on your chip is the same as being saved in your head, except now you can be accessible. People can get that stuff if they know how. If you can walk by and scan a door and it works, so too can somebody walk by and scan your hand. Sure, there will be things they'll claim are in place, but that's not the case in regard to how people will abuse the system, including the government, mind you. So the idea of being able to open a door to an office, which, by the way, does not work if it's not a bioelectric door. So let's not pretend like that's saving anybody time because most doors aren't. But then turning off the alarm by waving your hand, sorry, that saves you about 4 seconds of typing numbers in. See, if this is, they're trying to make it seem more dramatic. It's really so far not that much different. But he says he logs into his computer and that's immediately where I go, okay, that's the last thing I want. I don't want some independent device having access to anything. That's the same reason I don't want smart TVs or smart homes or smart cars, because that has been shown, such as Vault 7 leaks from WikiLeaks, that they're able to be hacked and including, you know, assassinating people with their self-driving cars. Oops, not supposed to talk about that. This is where this is all going. It says you remove the marker for human error. He sees huge potential in using biochipping for identification. So nobody can make a mistake? I don't see how that even makes sense. He believes it could eventually replace passports and driver's license, or that's what they're all driving toward. Your ID 2020 is sort of a external example of all of this, because, I mean, our passports are as well. They have the chips on them now. So this is the same idea. All they want to do is put that chip in your hand. which is where this is going. He says biometrics are different from a bank account in that you can't change it. I don't understand that. He says, so if you're compromised, it's forever. A chip implant, on the other hand, can be replaced. Are you arguing that I can't change my bank account? Are you trying to argue that if someone gets into your bank account, that there's no way to do it, that it's forever? I don't think anybody would buy that. It says the chip, on the other hand, oh, that can just be replaced. We'll just pull that right out of your skin and implant another one into the meat of your hand. That's totally no-brainer, right? But yeah, just opening up the bank account over the phone, that's crazy. Who is actually reading this stuff and walking away going, oh, yeah, that makes sense. It says others are touting implants as a potential healthcare revolution, and here comes the point. By putting sensors under the skin, it would be possible to measure blood sugar levels, heart rate, temperature, blood pressure, explained this guy. He has launched the company Disruptive. So we have biohacks, biohacker, and disruptive. Are all these things meant to cause chaos? Well, it sure seems that way. This way they're framing themselves. It says riding the train and buying a Snickers with your implant is cool, but not transformative. If you can monitor health with an implant the size of a grain, that's something else. Well, this very quickly turned around from this new kind of hip generational change to selling you on bioimplantable medicine. Interesting. Now it says, now, by the way, these guys are not medical doctors or I think I'm jumping the point. I think, yeah, it gets into it right down here. Now it says being able to open the door to the office and turn off the alarm. Oh, that's right here. This one. It says you could accomplish the same thing with a wearable device. Instead, they're arguing, and this is the point, and this is why I think they want you to go, yeah, that's what they want you to be kind of freaked out by this jump and then settle back into being comfortable with wearing a smartwatch that's just getting you comfortable with the direction this is going. It says also concerns about surveillance or privacy. Yeah. Don't you love how that's the only time this entire point gets mentioned? Just a casual, quick reference to also concerns about these two things and moving on. That's the two things that most people are concerned about. And of course, the privacy aspect is not about your neighbor. It's about the government. And they will always, always, always have access to this information because that's the point. It says, but since the microchips, again, people that already say, oh, they told you it won't be. Well, the UK said that too about their contact tracing, and it's already come out that they sold that material and data to marketing agencies, which means they also kept it for themselves. But it says, but since the microchips are passive NFC transmitters and not connected to the internet, they're only activated when they're within a few centimeters of an NFC reader and can't transfer data independently. Again, except for, you know, you walking by an RFID reader or these things that are all over the world, or somebody else walking by and doing it without you noticing, including somebody that wants to find out any number of things. But that's assuming that that's actually what these things are and there's not more to it that we don't know about. Again, to pretend like that's not possible makes you the most naive person on the planet. It says, while it's possible to hack them, suddenly, now there's a problem. It would require that the hacker swipes the data from the owner's hand. That's exactly the point. So that caveat's not possible? Do people not walk by each other all the time? I mean, think about walking down New York and those crowded sidewalks, or, you know, maybe they used to be, and maybe having a scanner in your hand and just scan, just hitting everybody you can as much. You know, and maybe it's not that simple, but I'm saying is that you have that access to people's hands without them even noticing it on a damn near daily basis. Now, it says, if not for everyone, it's not for everyone, but I do not, excuse me, it's not for everyone, but I do believe that it could be 10% of the population by 2030, which is a small tweak. You can really enhance your body using technology. Okay, now the point with this, I argue, is that this is meant to be, I mean, this is meant to be something that they're slowly adopting. And if they don't sell it to you as something that we have to have by tomorrow, well, people are a little bit more open to it. That's just the way that people's minds work. You're like, okay, well, maybe I'll try that. But if they're telling you this needs to happen by tomorrow because we're all in a month, some people, rightly so, will be like, whoa, wait a minute. This seems weird. So the point of all of this is to get you comfortable with the idea of the medical aspect of all of this. Here's the guy we're talking about, the biohacker. It's great. Is getting under people's skin one microchip implant at a time. A body piercer turned biotech entrepreneur, he's leading commercial biohacking in Sweden with its vision of seamless interaction between humans and technology. It's literally calling it biohacking. Why is anybody okay with this? And what he's saying is he's a body piercer. This guy is a tattoo and piercing artist. and he's now leading. Does anyone believe that he's the one behind all of this? It's sort of like the front man for that whole UFO psyop that was from, what was the band? I'm totally blanking on all the names now. I don't know if it was even that band, but anyway, you guys know the person I'm talking about. You could probably reference it in the chat. There was the guy who was part of this whole UFO psyop, and it's so obvious that he is not the person that he's the face that the intelligence community is using. And this is it. So this tattoo piercer is leading the revolution and planting. Why does he even have the ability to do that? Was it Blink 182? I guess it was. Yeah. But anyway, so it says it's an evolution that could shift us from the Internet of Things, which, by the way, that's 5G discussion. So we're past that already, to what he's dubbed the Internet of Us. That sounds horrifying to me. Joan turned inspiration from things like Johnny Mnemonic. Right. Because that's what we all want, right? To be a transhumanist machine. Well, clearly that's what they're driving towards. He founded Biohacks International in 2013. This body piercer founded a bio-implanted biomedicine company. Why don't I believe that? His company's technology must go hand in hand with the standardization of bio devices for the public, such as regulatory processes and development of legislation. This body piercer. Installations happen at Joanne's full service piercing studio. So they're putting biochips in your hand while you get your ears pierced. That sounds really legitimate. Where he performs NFC and RFID implants alongside piercing and body modification. It says letting humans easily speak the language of machines. That's where you're going. This is the digital renaissance, and this implant is the art. Really selling you on these things that they've been working on for a long time. As we've shown you this just recently, Richard Rothschild, 2015 to today, but we're talking about the same idea. Taking your blood oxygen saturation percentage, all your information, and using that to track the smartphone and the user. But it's for testing, though. Don't worry, it's for testing. We're going to track you and your movements and what you're doing to make sure you're not sick. Because that totally makes sense. Nah, it's more about the future they're building with all of these things. Here's one called Bump. This is just a sampling of the companies that are all vying for your future right now. Bump is a personal motion system designed to help people understand the way they move around a workplace and when they interact. It's a combination of wearable devices and data management. So again, the first step. Both are both an immediate warning to wearers if they get too close, and a generator of management information to improve safety and business performance. So you walk around your business, it bings or does something when you get too close to somebody, and then make sure they tattle to your boss to let you know that you were violating social distancing rules. That's what this is, which, by the way, shows you that this is your future. That's not going to go away the moment we get a vaccine. This is your future, that the biosecurity state of masks and social distancing and lockdowns, when they tell you, because they're building everything around it right now. Do you believe that this company would make a business around telling you to social distance if they didn't know that it was going to go on for a long time, if not forever? Sure, let's waste $1 billion on a whole company around this. But yeah, I mean, obviously, I argue these are things they were building before they got to COVID-19, but they've recentered their entire business around this idea. Here's another. This is actually from Duke University. This is calling from the Department of the Army for wearable diagnostic detection of COVID-19. Wearable as well as minimally invasive, you know, so quickly taking a step in the Army direction towards the invasive part. So now it's already happening where we're talking about implantable stuff, because it just makes more sense. The Army, as we just mentioned, the military is always where these things start. They test these things there. They get people kind of normalized with it. They argue it's for a military purpose, and then it rolls out to you. Now it says funding Department of the Army. The Medical Technology Enterprise Consortium, MTEC, is excited to post this announcement for a request for project proposals to develop a wearable diagnostic capacity for the very early symptomatic detection of COVID-19. This is medical pre-crime. Now, what they're telling you here is these are things that need to be ready now. Readiness level 3 or 4, meaning like already ready. And this is what, like, things that are not being in the theorizing stage, that are being planned out and being destroyed. Now, these are things that are already ready to be built or already being built, which means they want it now. It says currently be in development or commercially available. Here's an article from NextGov. The Army wants a wearable COVID-19 detector. This is from May 4th, guys. May. Right. So they're pushing this, by the way, and it happened again very recently, but this is something that they brought up then, like, right, you know, arguably when we weren't even sure that this was going to be, you know, this was especially, look, especially now we're at a point where we know that these numbers were incorrect, but they were using the hype to push this in. Something that they were already working on. Experts say the only way to defeat the current coronavirus pandemic is with comprehensive testing and tracing to identify infected persons and ensure they don't come into contact with others. The only way, apparently, to defeat this, experts say. Which ones? Ah, we won't tell you. They say that the pandemic will only end with comprehensive testing and tracing. Not just one, but both. They have to trace you. They have to trace you, know where you are, and to identify you. Thinking, well, we can't do that? Well, it won't be over. So, the vaccine ties in with pharmacovigilance and tracking and tracing you and where you are and how you feel and what's going on. And so does everything else they're building, including the medical pre-crime part. So at what point do they track everybody? And is that the ultimate goal? The Army wants to fast-track development of wearable detection technologies that can predict infection and alert the wearer and others around them. Now, they keep driving the idea that it's the Army, it's the military. The military wants it. I'm going to show you examples of where they're clearly telling you that this is not just about the military, that they're doing it in the military because they want it for everybody. But it's odd that they don't say that in these articles. Now, it says the Defense Department set aside $25 million for this effort and plans to make up to 10 awards. $25 million. You know how many small businesses that could save in this country? $25 million could save a hell of a lot of small businesses that have already lost everything in this country. But they're investing that money in experimental technology of bioelectric medicine, some of which are implantable. That's what they're talking about. And it can predict the thing that we are being told now is not even as dangerous as we first told, and basically the flu. According to the World Health Organization numbers, according to most every other person around the world, outside the lies we're hearing from our mainstream media. Now it says, and by the way, just so for people to know where I'm getting that from, this is where I keep referencing this. Oh, this is the wrong one. Yeah, it is right here. We just have the listing of the rates, right? Now, this is saying, this is, so right now, this is crazy. Below 70 years old, globally, this is new, published October 14th. Below 70, you have a 0.05 chance of dying. That's crazy. I mean, this is Swiss Policy Research is always a good place to look, but we are being told across the board that this is not as dangerous as they keep trying to lie to us about. Physiologic surveillance for COVID-19 positive individuals that do not yet show clear medical symptoms is the ultimate goal. Let me make sure that's very, very clear. Physiologic surveillance for COVID-19 positive individuals, so somebody that's been told they're positive because of a test that could be upwards of 90% false positives, and that don't even show symptoms. And that's their goal. With their goal not to be to monitor people who are, you know, I mean, they're literally telling you their goal is to monitor those that don't yet show symptoms and have, I mean, this is kind of confusing. What they're saying is people who have gotten the test but don't show symptoms. But we know that's a huge false positive part. So basically that ends up being everybody. If you don't have symptoms and they're going to roll out a huge testing thing and everybody gets tested positive, whether they have symptoms or not, is going to be tracked with this. And that's their goal. It seems their goal is to track predominantly people that aren't sick. Am I wrong in that? Physiologic surveillance for COVID-19 positive individuals that do not yet show clear medical symptoms is an ultimate goal. Physiological signatures, therefore, must produce predictive algorithms that can be tied into validated and relevant antibody molecular measurements. Antibody. So if you have an antibody measurement, it means that you've got it already and you're no longer sick. But they're just blending all this stuff together. The perfect solution will be designed so the device output, a determination on whether the person poses an infection risk, can be easily decipherable by non-medical or technical personnel, and to be minimally invasive for the wearer. Don't you like that? Notice how that quickly went from wearables to minimally invasive, such as the Perfusa biochip, which is considered minimally invasive, which is injected into your arm, and then there's a sensor on the outside that can take information from it. That's not minimally invasive. That is straight up as invasive as it gets. They're injecting something into your body. but that is considered minimally invasive. So here we are already muddying the waters. We are already blurring the lines between what they're claiming we're doing now and what they're saying we're about to do, which is what people keep telling us is a conspiracy theory, but they're literally telling you right there. And they're saying that it needs to be easily decipherable by just regular people. It's just so stupid. It says physiological indicators should include, but are not limited to, physiological markers of the early COVID symptomology. So, but not limited to. So they have their own markers, right? Just random things that may not even equate to any symptoms, but they've already decided. If you have these two things, we'll also say that you're that person. It says elevated temperature, fever, respiratory difficulty, cough, etc. Antibodies against COVID-19 and molecular biomarkers indicative of COVID-19 exposure. So what they're telling you is one of the physical indicators for deciding that you're somebody who doesn't have symptoms but is ultimately one of the people they want to track is that you have antibodies, which means you already got it and you're not sick anymore. Is anybody confused? They want to track everybody. I hope you're getting that from this. The data generated, generate and transmitted by the device must also be secure at the highest level per regulations under the Health Insurance Portability and Accountable Act. Don't you love how they just say that, but then they just tell you that it has to be accessible to just average people? Just because they say it must be this doesn't mean that they will be that. You should know that by government tactics by now. Army contracting officials said the military would prefer a single device that meets all their needs, but will accept pitches for a combination of technologies and sensors. And that's a huge important point. Because right now you've got all these different parts, these different aspects of the project that I argue is all the plan. And each part of it separately looks totally innocuous. Well, that's just the wearable watch. That's not dangerous. Well, that's just the ID 2020. That's about the card and the vaccine card. When you bring those things together, suddenly you've got societal exclusion, financial exclusion. But you see, when they're separate and people want to convince themselves they're not connected yet, well, they can pretend like they're not the same thing. And they tell you right there, pitches for a combination of these technologies. Don't you wonder which ones those will be? And it all comes together in the plan. And it will come out exactly the way that I think it is. And yes, that's my opinion. But the overwhelming amount of evidence that we're going over shows you that these people are screaming that this is what we need to be doing. The Army is not looking for the latest undeveloped tech, they say. Instead, the requirement calls for all submissions to be at least a technology readiness level 3 or 4. This is what I was saying before. Meaning that they're ready now. Showing you that they need them now. And they want them now. More specifically, proposed technology should currently be in development. Due to the urgent need to develop this technology mid-crisis, the MTEC is also suggesting suspending its members-only submission requirement, meaning that not just people part of their group can submit, but anybody can. Do you think this may open the door to people like the involved with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? Are people involved with these projects around the peripheral of these companies and people that just have weird agendas and different? Yeah, it does. It opens the door to anybody, whether they're a member or not, to submit for money to grow, to use these projects. I wonder how, and realize we're talking about things that are probably going to be not transparent involved in this project that ties back to something that they're doing and you just won't get to see it anyway. Here's an article from the Department of Defense saying AI, artificial intelligence, of course, aids in their early detection of COVID-19. So this is, again, the separate parts of the project that we're all seeing here. So we have these implantables that they, you know, are on the early stage or even the wearables. But here they are also saying that we need artificial intelligence, which will align more so with the implantables and things that are much more technologically advanced. But the idea of this is about the pre-crime. The medical pre-crime. They're telling you that we want to predict when you will get sick and control your life there forward. Now it says wearing this will give you a potentially, and this is using their rate system, which is the rapid analysis of threat exposure, an early warning of infection up to 48 hours before a person becomes symptomatic. 48 hours, according to them. Now realize they're talking about people we just told you. They're talking about people they're focusing on. Their main goal is people that are not symptomatic. So you get this, they tell you, well, here, your signs say that you're gonna get sick. And then 48 hours go by and you don't get sick. Well, they go, well, you're asymptomatic. We still gotta watch you though. Doesn't matter, you're already being watched. Now it says data from 165 different biomarkers is collected by rate, and that data is then processed in the cloud to allow users to see their hourly rate score through a secure website. Yes, of course, secure from your neighbor, but not from the government. It says the innovative technology uses artificial intelligence and machine learning to increase effectiveness of detection. Artificial intelligence, like you see how all these agendas are all just simultaneously surging forward, things that we were all equally apprehensive about individually before this all started. It says Whitchurch said developing rate began in March 2018. So again, something they were working on before this started that's been adapted now and justified by COVID-19 and did test for another coronavirus. So even testing for SARS, as well as pneumonia in the DTRA-DIU development prototype. As the effort quickly pivoted in 2020 to identifying COVID-19. Then suddenly the CARES Act, which is supposed to go to, you know, you and your family, $7 million went to this company. You know, the Department of Defense. So they gave themselves money from your pocket, claiming they were doing it to help you with COVID-19 and let your business close, though, because that's helping you, apparently. But here's the more to the point. Government contracts. Wearable diagnostic detection of COVID-19 infection. May 5th, 2020, it says the pandemic COVID-19, a disease caused by novel coronavirus, continues to spread worldwide. There is a dire and urgent need for development of rapid, accurate, wearable diagnostics to identify and isolate pre-symptomatic COVID-19 cases and track and prevent the spread of the virus. No mention of the military. No mention of for the army. Nah, no, this is a government contract for this for you. And this is something that they're using. Wait, this. Why didn't they say that here? It's the day before. Only for the army. No, they're not even, they're straight up telling you this is about making sure that they can track, trace, and isolate you before you get sick. And I guess we'll just have to trust that you are getting sick like they said you are going to be. This is just outrageous that we can be in a position that's allowing so many violations of your constitutional rights. It says the U.S. government, Department of Defense currently has available approximately $25 million for this program. I argue again that that should go to families that need it. Here is Stanford Medicine in April 14th. So a month before that, Stanford Medicine scientists hope to use data from wearable devices to predict illness, including COVID-19. If the algorithms succeed, the team hopes they could help curb the spread of viral infections such as COVID-19. Stanford has some pretty clear ties to things like Palantir and the CIA. So it's interesting to see the evolution of this development and see how it's come forward to today. 4 days ago, the U.S. Army looks to use soldiers' biometric data to secure wearable tech. So it's odd, this weird kind of gap of discussion of this thing that they told you they were going to do for COVID-19 back in May. And now, arguably, I guess, when it's just about to be pushed into your view, they come again and go, well, now we're doing it, even though they've been doing it quietly with your money behind the scenes the whole time. It says with the wearables, and this is what Whitney just pointed out the other day, with the wearables, soldiers, right? They just told you it's, well, soldiers too. But they just said this is for everybody. Where was that? Right? That's what they're telling you. This is about preventing asymptomatic people or pre-symptomatic people from getting other people sick. The wearables will identify their identities are verified using biometric data such as heart rates, gait, unique skin signatures, and physical locations. I don't know how much more we need to see to realize that this is where your world is going. Now, this is the point I made earlier. Australia to axe incoming passenger arrival card for digital. I hate when these websites have that drop down that won't go away. I like to get the title up at the top. I'm weird. Australia to axe incoming passenger arrival card for digital app. Now, this is those cards that we've all seen that we have to fill out when you're, you know, crossing, I think it's international line borders. You fill out, you know, I declare nothing, I'm bringing in fruit and whatever. What they're doing is they're removing that and making it a card, a digital app. So at first glance, you may say, oh, well, that's fine. That has nothing to do with anything. That's just making it more technologically advanced, right? Except they right off the bat. Oh, and by the way, shout out to New World Next Week, which is where I saw this, Australia will replace its incoming passenger arrivals card with a digital app that will also allow COVID vaccination certificates to be attached. The first paragraph, if required as a condition of entry from entire, like obviously that's what they're telling you. And we already know that ID 2020 has that stipulation. So this is happening. And so these groups are using this. And this is again, kind of an example of the different parts of the program and the project being put presented as separate. Yeah, yes, if they require it, they don't have to, right? Well, we already know what they're going to. We already know that there are places that will, and so this will be used for that. So you'll get try to get on the plane or get off for that matter, and they're going to say, no, we need to see your vaccination card. And that's why they're doing that, because this is your technocratic revolution. It says other data stored on the new digital passenger declaration app, which the government plans to launch by September 2021, could include visa information, right? This is your future. And it's happening in plain sight. Here's the World Economic Forum. These biometric tech sensors will be applied directly onto human skin, right? This is all just the kind of stuff that the World Economic Forum is continuing to float. Their future. This is what they're telling you. This is their great reset. It's coming. The Great Reset. The Great Reset Initiative. Like, this is stuff that is on their website openly telling you the four building blocks of the way we're going to redesign your life. And yet we're conspiracy theorists for continuing to warn you about this. Change your mindset. If we made it up once, we can make it up again, right? So says the leaders, the quote, leaders of the world. Yeah, is that a question? Or they're telling you, we've done it for you before and we're going to do it for you again, right? Create new metrics. Measuring what matters will change everything. Design new incentives. You get what you pay for. Build genuine connection distances data. They're just, all these are about changing your world, your life, the way you perceive that life, and how you go about that life. They're changing all of that because COVID-19. And that's what the argument is. Here's another specific argument in that same field from the Rockefeller Foundation. Reset the table. Meeting the moment to transform the U.S. food system. Why are all these people trying to transform everything in the middle of this pandemic? Why? Because that was the plan, guys. That's what this is. There's no other logical reason to justify uprooting everything everybody knows while they're already in a position where they're wildly apprehensive and confused and sad and angry, right? The reason is they want you to blame COVID-19. That's not what caused this. COVID-19 did not cause your problems. The government did. And now they're telling you, while we destroyed everything, we're going to reimagine it at the same time. Meeting the moment to transform U.S. food systems. America faces a hunger and nutrition crisis unlike any country has seen in generations. That's not because of COVID-19. That's because of their actions and what they've done to you. Today, 14 million children are missing meals on a regular basis, a statistic that's 5 times worse than before the COVID-19 pandemic. That's not because of COVID-19. That is because of the government's actions. It says, in many ways, COVID-19 has boiled over long simmering problems plaguing America's food system. Now, you can see why some people might think this makes sense. Now, I'm not even arguing that the argument doesn't make sense. A lot of these things need to change. But the Rockefeller Foundation is the last group that we should be allowing to change without seemingly oversight our entire food infrastructure. The last thing that we should be doing. The government shouldn't be doing that. This should be what American people decide. If we decide we want change, then we decide we want change. That's the illusion of the process we have now, because people scream about things all the time and they never, ever come to pass. They just keep you focused on these hot button buzz discussions, you know, the immigration discussion, the ones that the wedge issues they want you to keep focusing on. This is the last thing we should allow right now. And even then, if you think that maybe they should do it, you should ask yourself why they would do it in the middle of where in the most... I mean, this is a catastrophic time to do it. Are you going to start building new infrastructure while people are completely uprooted from everything they've known and while things aren't actually the way they normally are? Does that make sense to anybody? No, it makes sense when you know that they don't care about any of that. They care about building what they want. That's what's happening. In many ways, COVID-19 has boiled over long simmering problems. We know that. These problems have always been here. We don't need them to step in. The problems are the way they are because of their actions. What began as a public health crisis fueled an economic crisis. Well, arguably what began as a overshot, lied about scenario then became an economic crisis, leaving 33% of families unable to afford the amount of quality of food they want. School closures put 30 million students at risk of losing the meals they need to learn and thrive. Now realize that regardless of how you see this crisis, a situation, the economic crisis and what happened is the fault of the administration that's presently there. It's the fault of your government, to make it more specific. Not Democrats, not Republicans. It's because of your government. Your government did this to you. They took actions or didn't take actions that led to where we are now, period. You want to make it about a partisan issue? Then guarantee yourself 4 more years of the exact same things we're going to now. what COVID has revealed. 40% of Americans are unable to access even $400, right? That was like this before this situation came. So I know that can't be true. It's got to be way worse than that right now. It says these images tell a powerful story. I don't know what images they're talking about, but these images apparently tell a powerful story of the economic and public health consequences of poor nutrition, with 94% of deaths from COVID-19 among individuals with an underlying condition. Yeah, that's our point. The majority of which are diet related. So meaning that they're seemingly not connected to COVID-19. They simply had it when this happened, sort of the way that people die from all number of things while they have the flu. They tell an equally powerful story of a food system struggling to respond to the distribution wrought by COVID-19. Disruption. COVID-19 has, however, increased both the imperative and the opportunity to address these flaws and limitations once and for all. Right, like we're going to make changes now that we'll live with for the next 10,000 years, right? Like the way that they try to make it, like once and for all, we'll make the things right. No, it's going to be another political move. Things will change and people will become unhappy with them down the line. It's the way they always try to sell you as the next one only solution. Here's your savior, this one person, vote for him and you'll change everything. It's always how politics play you. And Trump is doing the same thing. Now is the moment to transform the U.S. food system. No, it's actually not. Now is the worst time to do that, even though I argue we do need change. Over the past few months, the Rockefeller Foundation gathered a diverse group of more than 100 experts, from farmers and food industry leaders to social justice, health and environment, and nutritional security advocates. Why in the world would we need social justice leaders to decide food infrastructure, right? I mean, do the presence of social justice individuals alleviate the concept of racism? No, it doesn't. So it's just a dumber. So are you going to have a social justice appointee at every single checkpoint and every single? I mean, it's just a dumb argument to say that having these, that shouldn't be included. That's not what this is about. Nobody's going to remove the concept of racism from the world. I'm not saying we should be okay with it or we should allow it in situations where we can remove it in regard to our individual lives. But to argue that social justice needs to be present in this evolution of our world is really one of the main points. That's why I highlighted this. Equitable will pop up everywhere. Equitable, meaning that they're going to force similarities, of course, not to you, their lives. They'll keep eating ice cream out of their freezers in the middle of the pandemic. No. We will be forced to give ours to each other. And, that's what the idea will be. Which is just ridiculous, right? Now we're talking about the kind of ideas that they're screaming about. And, oh my God, socialism over here and there. And how do we not see that it's just another ideology? Democracy or any of them lead here. They all do. Governments lead you here to a consolidation of power at the top. It's the same concept. The reason they scream about socialism alone is so you're too blinded to realize that you're in the same position. That in fact, you're in a much, much worse situation than a lot of the people that they try to tell you are catastrophically problematic situations. They're all mostly like that because of U.S. actions. But anyway, more integrated nutrition security system. Like this whole thing is about reimagining your food system justified by COVID-19. One more thing that does not deserve to be happening by the very people such as the Rockefeller Foundation that I think we all know have played a part in what we're staring at right now. Now, before I move on to the next topic, I wanted to make another point in regard to the virus itself. I've made this many times, and it's only going to be a very quick point because we're already going quite long today. This is the idea of the isolation. I mean, right? Because we're talking about all these things about this and that. The idea is if this thing has yet to even be isolated, how do we even know that any of this stuff makes any sense? It's an honest question. And just so it's continued to be out there in the world and people can see it, here are the examples of exactly the times when they've told you it's not isolated, right? Here's the document from the FDA. You can, this will be in there for yourself. And it says right here, since no qualified virus isolates of the 2019 coronavirus are currently available. Okay, so that's one telling you flat out that there are no qualified virus isolates. Here's the other one. Here is the article. This is on PubMed, detection of the 2019 novel coronavirus. It says right there, plain as day. The ongoing outbreak of the recently emerged novel coronavirus poses a challenge for public health laboratories as virus isolates are unavailable. That hasn't changed. They've gone on, and John Rappaport did an entire article about this and exactly showing you how all the things, they're basically telling you that we just did it. We took another route. You know, we didn't, Koch postulates didn't work. We couldn't prove it was there. So we just went a different direction. That's not what you do. That's what people who are dishonest do. And that's why you're having doctors now speak out about this around the world. But I just wanted to include those yet again for those of you out there who are interested to read these in its entirety, by the way. Take a time to read the its entirety. Understand these things. But coming back to the real point here, this is going to continue. Even though they don't have an isolated virus, even though they haven't proven that it's even as dangerous as what they're trying to tell you from the beginning, or even I feel like even I'm like, I don't even know why I'm trying to like be worried about what I'm saying. I mean, it's pretty clear that the flu and this virus are very similar in a lot of different ways, not just the infection fatality rate, which seems very, in some places of the world, lower than the flu. And that's not a secret, right? I mean, I was just showing you the numbers here. But the point here was that they're telling you now, just like even Donald Trump's experts were saying, mask, social distancing, likely into 2022, just like Bill Gates was telling you. And remember, Donald Trump said Fauci was a great guy during the debate, right? If we're taking him at his word, I guess we have to listen to what he says, right? Because actions aren't what we're listening to, so it's got to be what he says. But I guess there's some kind of deciphering code ring we need to understand when he's playing a deep state ploy or he's just lying or when he's telling you something we need to listen to. But the point is that Fauci is saying that just like his experts, just like Bill Gates, and nobody seems to be able to reflect on the reality that your world is going to be like this forever. But they always intended to keep this going. You flatten the curve, turns into 15 days, turns into 3 months, turns into 9 months, turns into the rest of your life. And if you know this is going to happen forever, are you still okay with everything that's happening? I don't know how anybody could say that they're okay with this. I just simply don't. Now, I actually just realized this is an article that I totally forgot to go through. I'm going to just mention this and go through it tomorrow, I argue, or the day after that, actually. I'm interviewing Dr. Judy Mikovits tomorrow. That'll be a good one. But I threw this in at the end and I forgot to go through it. And I don't like to just off the cuff about things that I haven't actually gone into. But researchers warn some COVID-19 vaccines could increase risk of HIV infection. Now, this is really frustrating for me because this is exactly the argument I'm making about the flu vaccine and COVID-19. And that they're trying to pretend is the most ridiculous fake news argument of all time. And they come out and just make the same argument in a different way. Well, here's COVID-19 vaccines that can increase the risk of HIV infections. That's called virus interference. It's the exact thing that they found in regard to the flu vaccine and other infections, including COVID-19. But that's total fake news. But this one makes sense because they want you to know about this one. I just, it's so sick how these people continue to play this game. But, you know, anyways, I will go over this again, but I hope you guys realize the point of that. How obviously they will say the very thing that they just said was completely ridiculous when it suits their purposes. Now, doctors in South Korea have called for flu vaccinations to be paused after 25 deaths, right? Just again, the idea that this stuff is happening in real time, right? We're talking about flu vaccines. The very thing that they're pushing all around the world, and the very thing that has been shown by a Pentagon study to increase the risk of infection of other viruses, specifically coronaviruses, the category. Yes, that was done before COVID-19 was ever done, but they're talking about increased risk of infections in general, as Corbett also pointed out. So it increases the risk of you getting sick. Why in the world would you take that in the middle of a pandemic? So here we are again with another example of the flu vaccine actually killing people. Why is the media not talking about this? Well, because the truth will cause vaccine hesitancy. Well, how does that make sense? The truth is the truth. So they're lying to you because they've decided that you need to take this vaccine. Does that sound like an honest journalistic outlet? That's what all of them are doing right now. Because, I mean, this is The Guardian, obviously, but when I make this point before, by and large, people watch the shows, the TV. When I talk about the mainstream media, by and large, I'm usually meaning Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, you know, the TV shows. Very few people these days actually get into these articles. But this is the same discussion. And why is nobody willing to talk about this stuff? Now, the last point I want to make in regard to this vaccine in particular is this is very interesting to me. Whitney Webb shared this with me today, which I believe she's going to be writing something on in the very near future. HHS Office for Civil Rights in Action. Bulletin, ensuring the rights of persons with limited English proficiency in healthcare during COVID-19. in the light of a nationwide public health emergency and national emergency declared as a result of coronavirus disease 2019. Yes, exactly. I'm just glad I remembered that. That is important. I've said it already in the show. In light of a nationwide public health emergency and national emergency, which started everything, was Trump's decision, declared as the result of coronavirus, which we now know is not as severe as they said it was. Yes, which Trump also said, but still seems to allow this to continue. The Office for Civil Rights at the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services provides this bulletin to health entities covered by OCR's civil rights authorities to ensure they are better able to serve individuals with limited English proficiency. So it seems to sound like they're doing things to help the underprivileged, right? But I found something to be very, very interesting. Or more specifically, Whitney did and showed it to me, which is just really, this is incredible to me. To give you a little bit of preface, we're talking about the idea that all of these vaccine producers and involved, really, truly anybody involved with even the administration of it, the distribution of it, the nurses involved, the hospital, all of this stuff has gotten immunity from liability. All of them. But that's not new in vaccines. That right now, children's vaccines are all completely immune. They're all immune from liability as the companies, which is just unbelievably ridiculous, which is why we have all these problems. They keep lying to us about saying, you're a crazy conspiracy theorist as everything keeps getting worse, right? That's not about that. Don't look at that. But here we're in a situation where it's happening again with an experimental vaccine that's probably very dangerous, which is being shown to be dangerous as people are being hurt and all these side effects and so on. And whether that's because they rushed it out or because it will be like that in general, doesn't matter. We're still seeing the problem because this is a dangerous situation we're in. So they, and then they remove liability from everybody involved. I made this point the other day, realized that they're talking about even, the syringe itself or the things involved with the administration of it. So if the nurse themselves slips and pokes you in the eye with the syringe, technically under what they've said, that person is immune from liability for your safety, apparently. I don't even understand how that makes sense, but that's the case. They've already said that it's at their discretion and it's basically all the health professionals and all these people. And devices. But then they add this in the mix. Now you tell me if this makes any sense to anybody. It says, in addition to Health and Human Services, Alex Azar's March 17th, 2020 declaration under the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, PREP Act, for medical countermeasures against COVID-19, that may apply with respect to some private claims arising from the use or administration of a covered countermeasure and may provide immunity from certain liability under civil rights laws. So first of all, to argue that you may need to provide liability to liability of civil rights laws inherently implies that at the very least, some people may perceive what you're doing as a violation of their civil rights. That's very clear. And on top of that, I think it would more specifically argue that they will be violating some civil rights laws. And so they're going to have to possibly provide immunity from those in the execution of this vaccine program. So remember, what we're talking about here is the idea that they're arguing that they need to roll this thing out early and help people that are underprivileged to get the vaccine first. And as Whitney made the point, that seems to possibly apply to people that are more at risk, maybe because they don't wear a mask or because they don't follow the rules. So you may end up getting told you have to take this because you're more at risk, which is kind of where this is going. But whether it's, only minorities they think need it first, which they could perceive that as being focused on in a way that they don't want. So they could then argue, well, this is my civil rights. I don't want this, blah, blah, blah. I'm just trying to make up random scenarios. But at the end of the day, you have this kind of this foggy, undefined, possible immunity from civil rights laws. I don't even understand how anybody anywhere can make a logical argument for why in the process of rolling out an experimental vaccine that could hurt people, that you're rushing out because our safety, why you would need immunity from civil rights laws, unless you were going to do something that potentially would make people think their rights were being violated. I mean, I could sit there, I could drill this in a bunch longer, but I just cannot get around how this is being allowed. It's just this offhanded comment about something like this. That is gigantic. Where is the ACLU? Where are all these groups that are supposed to be protecting your rights? As they're just kind of casually listing off, one of the side effects of all this is, yeah, maybe abusing your rights. And we're going to give them immunity from anything that we think might be. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. And all of this, as always, will be in the links in the show notes for you to read for yourself, because you will not find this truth on YouTube. You will not find this truth on any of these places that are trying to control the narrative. You sure as hell won't find this truth in the mainstream media. Now, to finish off today, well, after all that we just saw, they're still locking you down. They're still rolling into this. And Ireland is now leading that charge in continuing to, or rather reimposing, a 6-week national lockdown. Now, the argument was this was the first country to roll back into lockdown. I don't really feel like that's true. Maybe to openly impose it across nationwide all at once. But I mean, there are lockdowns and variations thereof all across the United States, all across the world. Your rights are being removed and your freedoms are being restricted right now all around the world as humans. But here's Ireland straight up telling you that we're going to lock this down 6 weeks, which will turn into however long they want it to, like they always do. And right in the beginning are saying, yeah, we're going to lose 150,000 jobs too. Apparently right in the beginning. And that's okay with them, because what they're arguing is that we're trying to get ahead of this. This is what it says. We're making a preemptive strike against the virus, acting before it's too late. Our objective is to change the structure of the virus to flatten the curve again to get it under control. So I guess the flatten the curve in the beginning was never even meant to stop what they were doing, right? If it can be flattened and then flattened again, and we never actually stopped where we were, at what point did it get flattened the first time? And why not? And why did they not let us free of their lockdowns then? Or rather their control mechanisms, right? Mass and all the different things, the social distance, all these different things, right? They said, just flatten the curve. That's all it is. Follow the guidelines, flatten the curve. Apparently it was flat somewhere and they didn't let us know, and they just kept going forward, and then they're going to push back in again. It's just a bunch of rhetoric. It's just such nonsense. It's not about flattening the curve. That was gone months ago. We're talking about continuing to control your lives. And they're literally, look, if they're doing this preemptively before it's too late, well, how are they flattening anything? How do they even know it's going to rise up again? Because they're blindly buying into what they're being told by the globalist agenda here. They're telling you that it's going to get worse. So Ireland goes, well, of course. Well, then, and remember, we just told you, the World Health Organization, wherever that was, where was that? Open somewhere. Anyway, the World Health Organization was just telling us, get back there eventually. Right. Tedros was saying, yeah, you know, we need to take action now before it's too late. And here he is. And here's Ireland going, okay, yes, sir. I'll listen to you. And here are Ireland's deaths. The highest death they've had is 13 all the way since May 27th. That's the highest day of death they've had since May 27th. Nowhere has there been a spike in deaths of any kind, not even close. But here's their cases. Right. And we're supposed to believe that? Like, how do you even argue that can be the case when that is the case with deaths? Right? I mean, obviously there's something wrong here. But they don't care about that. They just want to focus on whatever number makes it seem like it's dangerous. That's how many deaths they've had, and this is what they're doing. They're locking people down. 150,000 jobs are lost for that. Does that sound like freedom? Does that sound like what people would want if they could vote? No, it doesn't. But to end on a little bit of positivity, make you laugh here. How long we've been on lockdown. This actually made me crack up. Because that really is how it feels right now. If you guys haven't seen that meme, that's the meme of that girl, the young little girl who makes that face like, really? Like, who, you know, that people, it's such a great meme just because it's like a perfect face for, like, you know, what the hell are you talking about? And here she is grown up. Like, it's just perfect. Perfect. You just got to laugh sometimes, guys. You really have to. Now, I think we've been going for a long time. I'm going to save some foreign policy for my next show. We're going to wrap it up here, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here, I'm just going to rattle these through because I just can't not say them. But I want you guys to realize that in Bolivia right now, you know, in that free democracy that was overthrown by a military democratic coup led by the United States. Well, the reason they did that is because they claimed the election was illegal, that Evo Morales cheated. wasn't, you know, people weren't voting. Okay. That's obviously a lie because MIT did a whole investigation and study and showed that it was a lie. And the OAS didn't even say a word about it because they knew they were got caught lying. Well, here is Bolivians 50 years or older that are being told they're not allowed to vote. Suppression of votes is being carried out in rural areas. You know, the rural areas, which are the people that are predominantly supportive of Evo Morales. Well, yeah, they're just being told they can't vote because that's freedom. Right. Good thing that where's the OAS now? Are they speaking up now? Where's the U.S. government? How dare they have a fake election? No, they don't care now because it's not about the election. It's about the fact that they now have control. Now that they have control, the last thing they will have is a free and fair election. That's what happens when the U.S. government spreads freedom and democracy. They take those things from you and they sell you tyranny and then tell you it's freedom and democracy. That's what's happening. I mean, it's unbelievable that they can overthrow a country for lies about an election problem and then literally tell people they can't vote and then just ignore it completely. That's the freedom they're trying to build around the world. Israel occupation forces are continuing to push Palestinians out of their home in the middle of this pandemic. Well, nobody seems to care. Well, that continues to violate the fake deal of the century and no one seems to care. And families continue to get murdered and no one seems to care. But yeah, because we're all fighting for freedom, right? Well, this is the reality on the ground. It doesn't seem to be fighting for freedom to me. And also the State Department approves $1.8 billion to Taiwan. You know, that group that is in dispute with China. This is the equivalent of China selling weapons into Cuba, to any other group or Puerto Rico or Hawaii or like any of these groups that are obviously not really part of the United States. And the United States would lose its mind if that happened. They would call it an act of war. But because the U.S. government pretends that they're not doing the same thing, they just pretend like we're freedom, right? No, it's about starting the problem with China. Taiwan, as I obviously think anybody who deserves or wants freedom should be able to. But do you think that if Hawaii right now stood up and said, we don't want to be part of the United States, or California for that matter, or any group that wants to be not part of the United States, do you think the U.S. would allow it? Obviously not. So they're just as much a hypocrite then as China. That's always the case, right? I always need to show you that. Taiwan deserves their freedom like anybody does. But the U.S. is selling them weapons, and that is going to make it less likely. China is now going to do something, and they're going to make it very clear. That's my opinion. But at the end of the day, selling these weapons is meant to be provocative, and it is, in fact, exactly what the U.S. would use to call out war on China if they did the same exact thing. But sure, might is right, right? It only applies to them, because we're the good guys, right? Sickening to watch as the good guys allow the worst of the things in the world to happen, right? U.S. signs commitment with Israel to uphold military edge, right? So in the middle of your suffering, they continue to say, we're working hard for Israel, because that's what you want to hear, right? On Thursday, Secretary of Defense Mark Esper, right? This is after Pompeo and everything else we just showed you. Mark Esper and Israeli Defense Minister Benny Gantz met at the Pentagon and signed a joint declaration affirming Washington's commitment to ensure Israel's quantifiable military edge. Qualitative military edge. So, by the way, that's already documented. They've already more than once said that we're committed to their qualitative. Okay, they've said that. They've written it down. They've made laws about it. So for them to sit down and write it again, how do you not see what that's showing you? Every time they have to bow at the feet of the Israeli government every single time. I want to state again how committed we are to Israel's qualitative military edge when it comes to defensive sales, our commitment to Israel's security, which has been longstanding and is guaranteed and ironclad, he says. Yeah, they've said that more than once. He just wanted to say it again because he wants to make sure they know, because I work for you, Israel. That's what he's trying to tell them. So the reality here is that ask yourself this, if those defensive sales that made sure they had their qualitative military edge suddenly were contradictory to U.S. interests, would they stop? I hope you know the answer is no. That's not how that works. You see, they are more important than a lot of things that are happening to you, as your government continues to show you, such as sending $3.8 billion to Israel that they do not need right now. You can't feed your family and we're sending $3.8 billion to Israel so they can continue to illegally attack Palestine. I mean, it's unbelievable. Well, here we're going to stand up in the middle of all this and scream to the world that we will continue to do everything we can for them no matter what. And if that contradicts or goes against what you think Americans need, it just doesn't matter because that's most important. And they continue to show you with everything they do. And finally, the Trump and a secret Trump envoy tried to, oh, excuse me, a Trump envoy tried to secretly negotiate Venezuela regime change. Guys, this is bad. As I said, how embarrassing. All the illegal U.S. government actions, bumbling failed coup attempts, all the big blustering talk, and here they are basically trying to bribe Maduro to leave. This is what it looks like when you don't want to admit that you made a huge mistake. Now, look, the U.S. government could militarily just attack Venezuela, and they'd probably win. But at the end of the day, they know how that would end up looking. And they may, who knows, maybe they'll do that after something else happens with this election. But what this is admitting that their entire plan the whole time was to get regime change. That's what this is, right? There's no way to misunderstand that. They are straight up telling you that we wanted regime change and we failed. So now they got caught secretly trying to negotiate that exact regime change. Now, by the way, they're not quiet about their fact they want Maduro gone, but realize this was always the end goal. It wasn't because Maduro did anything wrong. It wasn't because anything. It was because they wanted to take over control of this area, just like they did in Bolivia. And that was illegal too. There's nothing new there because they want the lithium and the oil and the gold and all of it. Lithium, I argue, is probably one of the most important things happening right now in regard to what they need, rare earth minerals and all. Very interesting. I think we're going to wrap it up there, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for being here today. I hope some of this information got across to people. I can't even see how long we were going for. I don't see a timer on this one. Oh, there we go. Almost 3 hours. That's pretty interesting. But so much important information. It's just hard to not get to ignore some of this stuff, you know? Now, I'm going to have to find out tomorrow whether or not this was going on all these other platforms. I will make sure that happens if it didn't happen today. Thank you for being here. And please help share this information with everybody, anybody. Because now is the time. If we do not act or do something now, it simply will be too late. And I think we all feel that right now. So, as always, I love you all. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.